You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you their sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. Alright, let's get to it. Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are the Brothers Layman, your co-host, Chris.
And Jonathan.
Getting even crazier, man.
Oh, 4-0, my Broncos, best D in the house. And what can I say? I'm loving life right now, even though I did lose in, I didn't lose officially, but I'm probably going to lose in both my fantasy leagues. But that's okay. It's all right. I'm still cruising along strong. I'll be all right.
Now, you feeling good, man. You know, we about a quarter away through, you know, both college and pro.
It's going by fast.
Yeah, college, you know, even more upsets. You know, folks feeling kind of salty out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but not about them Dodgers, though. You know, playoffs is around now.
And the NBA preseason games have already started, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, it's prime time for sports, baby. It's prime time.
So, we're trying to fill all this in. And we got a guest who we're going to be introducing in a few minutes who's joining the show.
Yes, sir.
So, we got all of that coming to the show. But want to let y'all know, if y'all want to get at us, you want to talk some sports, any of that good stuff, number of ways you can reach us. You can hit us up on the show page at blackisonline.com. You can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. You can reach out via voicemail, 323-455-4219. Any of that, we'll read it, play it on the show.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out. It is fantasy time, I mean, for everything. Basketball, baseball, football, any questions, let us know. We will get back at you and get you some W's.
Holla. That's what's up. Real quick before I introduce my guest, we had gotten some feedback earlier this week. Just going to quickly move in and on. You know, part of the last week, I know we had a little sound issue with that, so I apologize for that. But on the other hand, you know, my daughter was here. You know, she was with us talking, trying to chime in on the sports talk as she wants to. We actually got some feedback from a listener who was pretty upset about it. Even said that Jonathan was irritated by it. I was like, okay. You know, now, you know, my wife, Casey, responded, you know.
Respectfully.
That's maybe not how she responded to me, you know, to my face about everything. But, like, look, man, my daughter's usually not here. She's not here with us now.
Exactly.
You know, but if my wife got to go or it's something to do,
emergency pops up, what do you want us to do?
I don't want to leave her there crying in the room, you know, because that's going to pick up and that's irritating.
Exactly. Look. I love my niece. She never gets on my nerves when she's here, regardless if she's talking or not. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, again, like we said, I know she got a little loud and, you know, it happens, but shit happens and you move on from it.
So, oh, yeah, man. Look, it's family first above all this podcast and stuff.
Absolutely.
And look, I'm a podcast producer and a listener, so I understand about noise and background noise and all that. But, you know, my daughter here, she going to be here, she going to be here. So,
she the number one.
You know, I hope you keep listening, you know, but if you don't, I understand.
Yeah.
All right. So, with all that, let's introduce our guest.
Yes, sir.
One of the members of the Straight Outta Low Cash podcast.
Yes, sir.
Got the homie Daryl. What's going on, man?
Cracking.
What's going on, fellas? What's going on, man?
Good, man. Glad you could be on the show.
I can't believe your listener got mad about a father being a black father. How is that? How somebody getting mad about that? That's not cool, you know.
I mean, especially the way people are nowadays. I mean, Not to be disrespectful. You got a lot of daddies out there who don't take care of their kids. So maybe sometimes when you see one actually taking care of his, it's a little bit of a surprise and a shock. I don't know.
Yeah, that definitely is. But hey, fellas, thank y'all for having me on, man. My other partner, Javon, may be coming on in a minute. So he's definitely, you know, all LA Lakers. So, you know.
Oh, we'll see. Jesus Christ.
Oh, snap.
Jesus.
Last night, before he comes on, for the record, last night we watched the fight, the UFC fight. He figured out a way in his mind to make the Lakers become an 8 seed next year in the playoffs. And when y'all hear it, please tell me that he's telling me he's crazy. When he got a whole breakdown how the Lakers are going to become an 8 seed.
Okay. This year.
Yeah, but for Kobe's last year, they're going to be at least be an 8 or a 7 seed he has sent.
I can't wait.
He said at least? Okay.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah.
That affects him. He said he's on his way home now. So
for sure.
For sure, man. All right, you know, we're going to start off this with some football. You know, we got a few emails, so I'm going to get into this football one. From the homie, from the listener, Azay.
What happened, bruh?
Saying, let's talk football.
All right.
Fellas, how's it going? Now that we are finished with week 3 of the NFL season, we are starting to see who's who and who's in line for the draft already. Bears. A couple things have stuck out to me so far. First, let's talk Cowboys. I'm a delighted Cowboy hater who saw this one versus the Falcons coming once Scandrick got hurt in the preseason. Julio straight raped these dudes, Morris and Carr through the air. More of the same is coming. Cowboys have to understand the shootout with Whedon is not a formula for success. Whedon actually played okay when you look at the numbers. They ran the ball great in the first half, got up 28-14, and it was downhill from there.
Mm.
For some reason, they went away from the run in the second half, and ATL ran Freeman like a madman in the red zone between Julio Jones smoking DBs left and right, up and down the field. It was nice to watch, I must say.
Oh, boy.
Coach Garrett has reverted back to what had him on the hot seat before last year, passing the win. Especially now with the injuries, Dallas has to go for low-scoring ball control games. But, hey, who am I? Let Whedon throw you to the unemployment line for all I care. The NFC East is very much still a toss-up, and 9 games may very well win the division. My guess is the winner is not the Cowboys.
Ooh.
One of the nice surprises so far is the Oakland Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
They are definitely going in the right direction with a great youth core. Not sure if they can sneak a wild card or not, but whenever Peyton hangs it up, watch out. They may well take the torch in the AFC West at that point.
That is possible.
Pretty good offense with Carr, Cooper, Murray, and Crabtree.
Mm-hmm.
Upgrade the line a little and add a few pieces to the defense, and they are nothing to sneeze at the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
They have the lowly Bears this week, so very well could be 3-1 after the first quarter of the season. Okay.
Yep.
Next, the Colts. A true pretender this year.
Ooh.
Up front, they are soft. And my guess is the head coach get axed. Owner wants a Super Bowl, and I barely see a playoff team there.
Ooh.
If not for being in the AFC South, they probably wouldn't be in the playoffs.
Ooh.
I say watch out for the Texans. If Malik can play steady, they could rough the division.
You were wrong about that.
Yeah, very wrong.
Everyone is 1-2 right now, and honestly, the Titans should have beat the Colts this past week.
Yeah, they should have.
That would have been an 0-3 hole for the Colts, but damn it, they gave in. Speaking of 0-3, that's where the Ravens are. It's a deep, dark hole with Cincy 3-0. My guess is it's a hole too deep to climb out, barring major injuries to Cincy. And speaking of major injuries, Big Ben is down 4 to 6 weeks, and insert Michael Vick for the meantime. I think the Steelers can manage to stay 500 during his absence, especially with Bell back and Bryant coming back week 5. Now, if Vick's frail self gets rocked, things will get ultra interesting because Pitt's defense is not what it used to be. In closing, I think the true NFC contenders are shaping up as Arizona, Green Bay, and Atlanta, a distant third given past playoff debacles. I think the Panthers will fade, not just very dynamic on offense. Got to keep an eye on Seattle, though. The AFC has the same old top guys in New England and Denver, but the Bengals and Bills will be interesting to watch, though. Yes, they are interesting. Both have lots of talent spread on both sides of the ball. Consistent QB play will carry or kill these team chances. Lastly, I want to pass out a few what the fuck slaps. First goes to Kaepernick for his 2 pick sixes back to freaking back. Second to Brandon Marshall for that dumbass lateral. He's a good receiver, but man, does he do some dumb shit every once in a while.
Oh, man.
Third goes to Miami management. Matter of fact, they get the first slap for signing Tannehill to a 90-plus million contract, Woo. And they get a backhand for the Sue signing.
Woo.
Neither has done much.
Yep.
Sue is being double-teamed and triple-teamed, so others should be able to pick up the slack. If the Bills beat them like they just wait until Tom and the Pats come to town. Dolphins are a punt return away from 0-3, and this is the team some picked to win the AFC East. What a joke. Peace.
Oh, man. Appreciate that email, brother.
Shout out to you, man. Yeah, man. Week three was interesting, and even week four got even more interesting.
He broke that down, boy.
Oh, no, you did, man.
Woo.
I mean, some of this we're going to get into when we get into this. But, you know, we're going to start with, a real shocking game since he brought up Arizona. And we got a folk from St. Louis in the house.
Out of respect.
I mean, and plus, the game just ended.
What did I say? I said Todd Gurley, had he not been hurt, would have been a top five pick easily. And clearly today he showed why. That man is a beast. He's a beast.
And like I said, I have the egg on my face because I thought it was a bad move to draft him with that knee, coming off that knee injury.
I mean, yeah. They knew. I guess they felt they had, some running backs there, so he wouldn't just have to get thrown in the fire.
And he's young enough to where he can heal, pretty quick and pretty soundly. And with the advances in technology, you assume, an ACL tear is not what it used to be.
Mm-mm. It's not.
But, he worked his way back. He worked his way back.
Oh, and he balled out today.
They were smart holding him out the first few weeks. Mm-hmm. Waiting until he actually could go full speed. Man. They gave him a few carries last game and just let him go today. And, man.
19 carries, 146 yards. Second in line with Tavon Austin, Benjamin Cunningham, and Trey Mason with two apiece. So I was like, wow. And yeah, he was doing it, averaging 7.7 yards a carry. Come on.
And what I liked about him was his intelligence. He was at the end of the game. He broke some long runs, and he did the smart thing and just sat down in bounds and let the clock run out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank you. Smart, intelligence, high IQ. These are the things you're looking for in quality backs. He's clearly a three-down back because he's got the size for it. He's got the speed to take any play to the house. That kid's going to be fun to watch. And teamed up with Nick Foles now. Tavon Austin is now showing some skill. If Brian Quick at any point can get back on the field and do something, I think
I'm done with him.
You done with Quick?
I'm done with Quick, man. He got to go.
I had high hopes when they got rid.
I did too.
When they got rid of Chris Givens, I was like, oh, that. I guess that means Brian Quick about to get back in, but nope.
No. I've given up on him. I actually have totally just act like he does not on our team no more. He's not even a member of the St. Louis Rams at this point. It's messed up that Kenny Britt is our best receiver right now. Woo! It's good. Kenny Britt is okay, but next draft we got to draft a receiver. Yeah. That's.
Yeah, Tavon clearly has some flash.
He's just too small.
Yeah.
And he's not a big – when we drafted him, I was like, yo, it's dope, but we need a 6'3", 6'4", big man receiver on the other side to counterbalance him. Oh, it'd be killed. You'll be straight then. In a good, nice running game, the whole line is straight, and the defense is on point except for some D-backs, We can pick up a safety if we need to. Other than that, they'll be straight for the next couple of years as long as we draft correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to say, you guys, 2-2 now. However, those two wins – against pretty much the top two teams in the division, beat Seattle and now have beaten Arizona. Like, quality wins. The fact that they are, in the division, basically, and you just added it, makes it be most special.
And on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I mean, and I'm hoping that they go ahead and sweep San Fran. I know we'll lose in Seattle. And then if we could sweep Arizona at home, we'll be in good shape for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so.
And look, man, people have crapped on Nick Foles. I said Nick Foles is a pretty damn good quarterback. He just got to have weapons. And now you're starting to see the weapons he got. If you get a man some time, he can make some nice throws.
And he's not Sam Bradford. That's the key point is he's not Sam Bradford. That's the key thing. They got a billboard here for Nick Foles, and he hadn't even done nothing yet before the season started. They were just like, welcome new player, Nick Foles. I was like, oh, yeah, people was just glad to see him up out of this town. Well, Sam Bradford was eating up so much of our cap. He was just, oh, my man.
I'm sure after having to deal with Austin Davis last year, it was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We were having some issues. So, yeah, the Nick Foles, he's way better. Is he the quarterback for the future for us? No, but he's way better than Sam Bradford, and I'll take him.
Oh, yeah. And if you put enough pieces around, you know, an average quarterback, he can take you places. Mm-hmm. But that lets you know if everything's set and all you really lacking is the quarterback, you know, that'll draw a quarterback in.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, Arizona, ooh, this is a tough loss.
Yeah.
You know, no more undefeated.
Yeah. They broke their streak, but.
Ugh. You know, Chris Johnson was, you know, all right, 16 for 83 yards. Mm-hmm. Carson Palmer, 46 passes, 352, one touchdown, four sacks, though.
That was the big thing. They hadn't allowed a sack all season. And, you know, going against the Rams defensive line. With Quinn and Long and no boys, I mean, it's tough.
I mean, man, that defensive line is stupid. That Quinn, Long, Fairley,
Donald.
I mean, it's just that D line is stupid.
It's crazy. It's crazy, yeah. on that Rams defensive line. Then you got James Laurinaitis and Jalen, yep, Becker. You got Ogletree. So they got a squad. But yeah, but like you said, their defensive backfield is the one little shaky part of their defense. But they did
George
enough.
Jenkins is a hitter quit too. Hitter quit, man. He's a hitter quit.
Yeah.
I went to the Rams of Seahawks game for the first game, and he takes off a lot of plays, man. Going to the game, seeing the game in person, he takes off a lot of plays. You know, he takes off a lot of plays. And for the records, Jimmy Graham is a beast too. I just want that to be known. That dude is a humongous dude in person, man. He's humongous. Imagine. He's big as the lineman, man. If he kneeled down in the normal position that tight ends normally be in instead of that split wide, you couldn't tell the difference. You wouldn't be able to know if he was a tackle or if a tight end.
Wow.
Is he 6'6", you know, some stupid size, man. And then he was open on every play. Every play he was open. Mm. They just didn't get it. That's a whole other thing to see up problem, but.
Oh, yeah. Once he actually, you know, improves that blocking. If he improves that blocking and can become a real complete tight end, I know you want that wide receiver look, but, you know, if you still show them tight end skills, you can block for, you know, beast mode.
Yeah.
You know, I like Seattle should like his chances. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Arizona not out of it. And hey, Larry Fitzgerald continues this week, 7 receptions, 99 yards. You know,
assistant receiver.
Fountain of youth.
Yeah. And somebody probably drafted him in like the 9th round or something and just. Yep, he's in my starting spot.
Just reaping the rewards.
Yep. Damn. All right, moving on. As it sounded earlier in the episode, somebody over here feeling mighty good.
We undefeated. What can I say? I'm going to say it again. Best defense in the league. It's not even close. Our defense is the best. Peyton had a shaky game again. Peyton is – I don't know, man. That offensive line is just – they're not – they're just – There's no chemistry. We lost our left tackle again this week to injury. No. So we had to shuffle the O-line again. So there's no continuity. It's that offensive line is in shambles.
Yeah.
It just is. And they can't give Peyton the time he needs. But, you know, he made enough plays today to give us a nice little cushion, and our defense sealed the deal. So
that was a
thank
great
you
play
very
at
much.
The end. Thank you, TJ Ward getting passed. Thank you.
AP had his little run. He had his nice little run. His little 46-yard touchdown. He can have that. Out there, Ronnie Hillman topped it with a 72-yarder. I'm just saying. But, you know, we won. I don't care. Like I've been saying, I'll take it any way I can get it. We 4-0.
I don't know. Broncos should take it. 4-0, basically running game and defense. You know, you said Ronnie Hillman had 11 carries, 103 yards. And a touchdown, you know, getting to that running back by committee look because they both split carries evenly.
Yep.
So I don't know how that's going to play out. Demaryius Thomas, 9 for 93, 12 targets.
Emmanuel Sanders had a quiet game.
Yeah.
I thought he'd make a little more noise, but yeah.
Yeah, and Peyton, 17 to 27, 213, touchdown, 2 interceptions. I was watching the game, like, oh, snap.
I have doubts.
You know, that's how people feeling, like,
whatever.
You know, but it's I'm like, look.
It's a product of our O-line. Yeah. I'm going to keep saying that.
To me, if he becomes that, Peyton Manning, if Peyton Manning, quote, unquote, manages his way to a Super Bowl, so
I don't care.
What?
I don't care.
Then you'd be like, oh, well, he just relying on his defense. I was like, you mean like Ben Roethlisberger for his first Super Bowl?
You mean like Baltimore did with Trent Dilfer? Mm-hmm. You mean like Russell Wilson in Seattle?
Right.
I'm just saying. So I'm just saying. And Daryl, thank you very much for Shane Ray. 7 sacks from that D today, baby. 7 sacks.
Yeah, he's balling, man. He balled at Mizzou, though, too. I think he was the SEC player of the year, defensive player of the year, I think. If I recall, he's the truth, man. He's the truth.
He's a beast.
He's definitely the truth.
Him, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware.
For the record, Trent Dilfer, is he the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl?
I've heard people ask that.
He gets mentioned a lot in that conversation.
I've heard people ask that question. I don't know. I'd have to actually do research and actually go back and kind of figure out. But I mean, in my lifetime, to win it, yes. To get there, no. Rex Grossman is the worst quarterback I've ever seen to get to a Super Bowl.
Hold on. No. I disagree. I think Rex Grossman is better than Trent. Well, no, I take that back. I ain't going to say that. No. I really thought about that as I was saying it, and like, no, because Trent Dilfer was actually a decent quarterback in Tampa Bay.
Exactly. He was a really good quarterback. And yeah. Then, you know.
I mean, that it was like arguably like a top three ever defense. Totally. And then, what, Jamal Lewis?
Jamal Lewis beasting.
Yeah, with that sick line. It was like, all right, fine. I don't have to do much. Okay.
But I also believe that they wouldn't have – if the Rams wouldn't have had Azeer Hakeem drop that punt, they wouldn't beat us in the Super Bowl that year because we'd have went back-to-back. That would have been this back-to-back Super Bowl. But that's another conversation.
Hey, I just out of curiosity, mm-hmm. how did St. Louis – well, not, how did St. Louis Rams feel – when y'all saw that it came 1 yard shy of y'all losing the Super Bowl, were y'all holding your breath?
No. You know, I was in college, man. So I was actually at a Super Bowl party. And for whatever reason, you know, and I get it, you know. And I was at a black Super Bowl party. And everybody was cheering against me because it was basically the Tennessee Titans versus white people. You know, I mean, it's such a white team. And, you know, that's my city. So I'm cheering for the Rams. Everyone at the Super Bowl party is going for the Titans because, of course, McNair, Eddie George. The texture
Kevin
of the
Dyson.
Team was black. Yeah, the texture of the team was black. Even though 95% of the Rams was black, too, but it's just the way it visually looked. You know, Kurt Warner was a face, so you think white. Even though everybody else on that whole team was black, basically.
Yeah.
But basically, I ran around the whole house that I was at for the Super Bowl. Just like laughing in everybody's face, pointing at them, you know, running by. It was probably a pretty joyous occasion. Now, the flip side of that is when I did my own Super Bowl party when we lost to the Patriots, and I was depressed for 2 days. I had a class. I didn't do nothing. It was bad. Because keep in mind, that Super Bowl, we came back that Super Bowl. So I'm super hyped that Super Bowl. So
right.
It was a contrast of things that are going on because more people was on board with the Rams for when we went to Super Bowl the second time, so I had more people cheering with me. But that first one, I was on my own on that Super Bowl, so it was like more of just basking in the glory of my own.
nice.
Nah, I feel you, man. But yeah, with this guy, Adrian Peterson, like I said, outside of that long touchdown run,
that best D just shut him down.
Yeah, wouldn't even cross 50 yards.
Is Adrian Peterson destined to be basically Barry Sanders?
What do you mean? You think he's going to call it quits soon?
No. That he's not going to get out a divisional. Like, he's the farthest he's going to make us to the divisional playoff game. Like, kind of Barry didn't even make it to a conference championship game. Farthest he made it was a division.
You know what? I see them making it farther than that. I just think with the components they have, their team is actually very good. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the defense is real good. I know that.
They got a real good team. So, I think they can make some noise. I think they're going to the playoffs this year, personally.
Yeah, really? It's a balance because you got a young quarterback. And Teddy Bridge showed some nice things in this game. You know, just, you know, that defense.
When you go up against the best defense in the league, what you going to do?
And he was making nice plays on the defense.
Yeah, he did.
And it was like, oh, shit, are they going to drive it down? And then
sack, baby. Right.
But, you know, you got a young guy, you know, Adrian Peterson. You know, honestly, he's getting there up in age. But luckily for him, you know, had a whole year off. Last season, if they can kind of pick it up a little quicker, they can do something.
And they got a really solid defense.
Yeah,
really solid defense. So
I mean, it's hard, you know, with Mr. Discount Double Check, A-Ron in that division. I know that's tough, but, you know, they can still do that.
And speaking of Mr. Relax, they just kicked the Niners' butt today. I know the score didn't really show it, but come on, dude. Kaepernick is the worst quarterback in the world. He's terrible. 13 of 25, 160, an interception. Sacked 6 times. He's garbage. I just said it last episode. I'm going to say it again. He's garbage. He's trash. I know people are like, well, Blaine Gabbert ain't no better. Let's see. Let's see if he's any better. Because at this point,
God, Kaepernick, they paid him that. They paid him in the offseason. I think they're going to give him every chance to succeed or fail. I don't think he's
to fail. There's no succeeding going on.
I mean, granted, if they lose like 8 straight or something, then it's like, all right, please put the backup in. But if they close or you know, all that, they'll let him play just because they want to be like, look, we gave you every chance. You couldn't do it. So
Carlos Hyde, 8 for 20. That first game was the biggest fluke I have ever seen.
Hope y'all so high on him.
I don't know. Seriously, because this team is weak. Dude, it all starts with the quarterback. He can't throw the ball. He can't throw from the pocket. I've been saying it for years. He can't do it. Nothing's changed. I don't know what improvements he made in the offseason, but they are not reflecting because he looks exactly the same, if not worse. He's still on that first read and throw. It's terrible. It doesn't work. And the Niners, I mean, good, you know, good for St. Louis, Arizona, and Seattle, I guess. They ain't got to worry about San Francisco.
No.
They're whack.
Nah,
that's a hell of a decline, though, too, they took, man. That's a hell of a quick decline, too.
Yeah, like a year or two just fell off.
Well, I mean, part of it is, I mean, they did lose like half their personnel in the offseason.
Yeah, but a lot of it wasn't just, you know, people just choosing to leave. It was like injuries, retirement.
Coach got fired.
Yeah. When that whole thing hovered from the previous year.
Yeah.
That it was like, oh, he's gone after this year. Like, okay, well. And you got a guy who's, you know, that hard edge like that. They're like, oh, management's going to get rid of him? All right, well, why do I got to listen to him then? Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to run as hard because – you know, I was cool 2 years ago. You know, now it's getting old and you're gone. So, I'm good. I just want to stay healthy.
I mean, I'll give it to their defense. They made it tough for Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. You know, but still, 22 of 32, 224, 1 touchdown. I can tell by the way thing is going, he seems to be in the lead, if you want to say at this point very early. Looks like in the lead for MVP. You know, depending on what Tom Brady does.
I'm going with Tom Brady right now.
But it's
the way he playing.
It's hard. It's
or
I mean that last game.
I'm going with Julio touchdowns. Jones right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go with Julio balling. Jones.
But yeah, Discount Double Check he's easily the best quarterback in the league. It's not even fair.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were talking about Julio Jones. I mean, God, they looked at that game.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
48 points on them Houston Texans. I mean, it was like you scored 21 points in the fourth. Up until that, 42-0 going into the fourth quarter. Damn.
And who led all them 21 points? Brian Hoyer. Thank you. You should have left him in at quarterback since game one when you yanked him in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, now Ryan Mallett gets pulled. Mm-hmm. Now we don't know who we want. You're like, oh, Brian Hoyer suck. Well, Ryan Mallett ain't that great either. I mean, not like what? Ryan Mallett, 12 of 27, 150 yards, 0 interceptions, pull him out. His, you know, rating was under 50.
Oof.
Yeah, Brian Hoyer, 17 of 30, 232, 2 touchdowns. Okay.
One of the problems is Ryan Mallett is that old throwback type of quarterback that people loved and liked, that 6'6", big arm. You know, the old prototypical type of quarterback from the 80s. That's why everybody liked Ryan Mallett, I feel like.
I think, yeah, that's part of it. I think, I mean, the other part is Bill O'Brien came from the Patriots tree. So he was there when they drafted him and all that. And I figured, you know, I don't know if he liked what he saw or wanted to get the kid a chance or what. But clearly he's backup material.
Yeah. A good backup, though. But I don't know about no starter.
Yeah, definitely not a starter. Man. And
Yeah, this is opposite of running. I'm looking at Houston's rushing as a team, 17 carries, 54 yards. Alfred Blue, 6 carries, 17 yards. After what, he got like 20-some carries last week? Like, all right. This,
Aaron Foster just got out. 8 carries. Aaron Foster back.
Yeah, and hopefully you didn't decide to start him.
Nope, I did not. Because they said, well, I guess they play on Thursday, so they said they're waiting to give them the full load on Thursday.
Which is smart.
Which makes sense.
The only good thing for Houston, best of you fantasy owner, DeAndre Hopkins, on, 22 targets, 9 receptions, 157 yards. You'll take that, but damn.
And I might be the dumbest person in fantasy football land. I dropped Devontae Freeman after week 1.
Son of a lot of people did, man. You know, quiet game, 14-68, except for them 3 touchdowns. They just spanked the
and
hell
5
out
catches
of
for 81 yards. Son of a bitch.
What, Julio Jones, quiet, 4 for 38. Didn't have to do much.
Leonard Hankinson.
Yeah, who I picked up off waivers this week. Had him stashed like,
I know Redskin fans are like, why you ain't never do that with us?
Like, because you ain't got no Matty Ice?
Oh, man.
Should you like, Washington, you ain't got nothing cold or hot at your quarterback position. Yeah, except hot and trash. Man, it's just, you know, look, man. Atlanta's in new coach, new system. Kyle Shanahan got this offense.
But Atlanta's first goal, though, man. You know Atlanta's going to mess this up somehow.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you just look at the history of the Falcons, they'll figure out how to mess it up.
I mean, that's as they said, he's like, they known. That's why he had him at a distant third.
Hey, shout out to Dan Quinn, man. He got this defense playing.
Because their defense was trash.
I mean, he bringing
– it was horrible.
I'm telling you, Cam Chancellor makes a difference, but you took that defensive coordinator away. He's bringing the mojo to Atlanta because their defense is defense on point.
Yeah, now you got your defense stepping up with that O. I mean, yeah, we'll see. I mean, what, 3 years ago? Was it 3 years ago that they went to the NFC Championship?
I think it was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was three, four, right. Yeah, so, 3-4
I mean,
years ago.
They've been there. They just, you know, it
stunk
was just downhill from there.
Yep.
But, man, they keep doing it. Another team that's 4-0, since we're talking about teams that are still undefeated, Carolina Panthers. Once again,
That fool's go too.
That didn't even count. That shouldn't have counted. They went up against, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is so weak.
All the teams they've beaten so far have sucked too.
Yeah. I mean, good for them to, you know, you whatever your schedule is, you better pocket them easy W's because they will come in handy. Hey, it's going to come down to, you know, like both of y'all said, both of these two teams are fool's gold, and they both in the same division. I mean.
Well, somebody got to win it.
Yeah. I mean, for all they know, both of them may actually get in. But, I mean, of course, I probably lean towards Atlanta a little more just because.
They got a better
offense.
They got
a better
team.
Cam Newton just.
Carolina has Cam Newton and Greg Olsen, and that's it. And Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, who was quiet again. It basically got Cam Newton.
And Greg Olsen.
Yeah, and their defense has always been pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, Tank Gidden showed up. I mean, Cam Newton, he's playing. I'm real happy for the brother that because it was always a show. He was always emotional, doing the Superman chest and all that. You know, but he's come out 4-0, producing. You know, he knows he has to carry the load. And up to this point, he's carrying it. So, and it's not a lot of buzz and crap talking and all that from him. It seems like he's just getting it done. So I at least appreciate that you just handling business.
So Darryl, what you think about Jameis Winston?
I think he's doing serviceable though. I don't think he's doing bad as a rookie, but he's not doing bad. You know what I mean? Like he's doing bad, but it's not like bad, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Jameis. That's just me. I haven't been sold on Jameis since he came into the league. I mean,
that old line he got is horrible though, for the record.
Yeah.
He running for his life back there.
Yeah, he sure was.
He's running for his life back there. He literally is just like, he playing like old school when you're back in the hood where you just literally, it's a free for all on the quarterback.
Oh, man.
Because they coming straight through like they at a wedding. They holding each other's arms coming through the hole.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
let's see who else we got.
Oh, you got Cincinnati played Kansas City, continuing once again to get it done.
I gotta get him respect. Now,
who believes in Andy Dalton? No, for real. Come on now.
Nobody. You know, we don't. I don't believe it because for him, it is really it's all playoffs at this point. You know,
nobody cares what they do in the regular season.
They look good. You know, like, okay, we can't believe, but until he gets that playoff win, we don't know.
Yeah. I have doubts.
Every time Andy Dalton, I have doubts. You know, it's going to be that way until they get that win in. And his team has talent on both ends.
We waiting for the primetime game because we're going to see what's going to happen. Are they going to lose or win? Either Sunday night or a Monday night game. Let's see what happens.
Yeah,
but you know what? All the divisions, everything is all shaken up, it seems like, this year because people are like, some of these teams are going to benefit off the fact that there's only the only division that's really scary is the NFC West. Like, every other division is really very top heavy. Like, Cincinnati's going to feast off the fact that Baltimore sucks this year. Then Big Ben off of what, 4 or 5 more weeks?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland, okay. I mean, you know, so, I mean, they're going to benefit off of that. That's 2 wins versus Cleveland, 2 wins versus Baltimore. That's 4 wins. Maybe split with Pittsburgh. That's 5. You only need 5 more wins. You're in the playoffs for them.
Yeah, I mean, this game was running. They got total 124 yards total from their team. You know, Jamie Hill gave you 3 touchdowns. Still got, you know, less carries than Giovanni Bernard, but you know, you'll take it. Yeah. I haven't been in the league, so I'll take that.
Exactly.
Yeah, they keep finding ways to win, so you gotta do that. Hey, since we're talking about that team in that division, let's go back to this Thursday night game.
Okay.
I mean,
one of the worst play games I've seen in my life.
Ooh. Good Baltimore order. Was what? Down 13, I believe. And just oof.
It just seems like this week is the week of the shitty kickers because there are a few kickers this week that just either lost their job or is going to lose their job. I can tell you, Jacksonville's kicker is going to lose his job. He's done. Josh Scobie from Pittsburgh already got cut and replaced. I mean, I felt bad for the guy. I mean, look, Heinz Field is the hardest place probably to kick. It has been documented. That place is hard to kick in. So you got it. And he's just signed, just got traded to Pittsburgh this year. He's been kicking for Jacksonville for like 10 years. So, you got to get a brother some leeway. I thought personally in overtime, I'm like, look, get a man a chance to redeem himself. Just give him one more chance to redeem himself. But no.
Yeah, you felt like, and I think, but that kick was like, what? How long was it? It was like a 50 yarder or something
like that.
But I think the other two he missed were like under 50.
I think they were 40 something
yards. Yeah, and that is the fun part. It does seem like that's the one position where any other position, you're like, oh, well, this dude dropped 3 balls, but he's still clutch. I got to go to him at the end of games. Oh, he fumbled twice, but that's my star running back.
Yeah.
I got to give him the rock. You know, like, oh, he's the quarterback. He's thrown 3 interceptions, but I need the pass play. I'm going to trust him. Kickers, you miss a couple, sit down. Yeah, no, that ain't no third time.
Especially
the
critical ones.
Yeah.
Ooh, you looking for a new job tomorrow.
Yeah, when they missed that kick to put up 6, it was like, oh, shit.
I mean, look, part of it was Vic started off hot, and then he cooled down. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
It was a lot of the play calling, too. I mean, if you have 2 fourth downs and 1,
did the Pete Carroll.
Yep. And your star running back,
balling,
who right now has finished with 22 carries, 129 yards, and a touchdown. And you having who else? Michael Vick. Who am I going to give the ball to on 4th and 1?
I think I'm going to give it to Vick.
Twice.
Fuck it.
And that pass to Antonio Brown, I was like, dude, he's wide open. Just step into the throw, Michael Vick. Step into it. It's an easy throw.
Michael Vick is not accurate. We've known this for years since he's come into the league. That has been his Achilles heel, is the fact that he's not accurate. And if you blow on him, he'll get hurt. Yep. So,
and now, you know, he's not great at reading defenses. He doesn't make quick decisions. It's like, oh, first read is gone. I'm going to run. And there were some plays where they were like, if he had just waited a couple more seconds, Dude was wide open. But nope. First read, gone. Second read, I don't know if I can make it. All right, take off.
I mean,
look, one of these coaches.
They got to ride Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, one of these coaches, you knew it was like, ooh, whoever loses this game is going to get questioned. Because they had the same thing with John Harbaugh, with him going for it on a couple fourth downs.
Baltimore needed that game way more than Pittsburgh.
Oh, absolutely. They couldn't afford to go 0-4.
Shout out to Justin Forsett, who was boo-boo. Them first three games came through 27 carries, 150 yards. He said after the game he wanted to rock. He was like, in order to win, we got to run the ball. I know we playing Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, but they had to run. And he knew he was, you know, they go 0-4. He puts another shitty game. It's like, maybe you really aren't the starting running back we need. So he came with it. And I got to give props to Joe Flacco, even though he gave me 9 damn points, you know, on the field, you know, no Steve Smith. Dude's just getting injured, and he made the plays.
Made plays when necessary, though. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback. Dude can make plays to get it done. Baltimore breathing a sigh of relief. You know, maybe they can get in. Maybe. I don't know, but for that, yeah, Pittsburgh, that hurt. You blew one.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially against your rival in the division.
In the division, yeah.
They no, Ben Roethlisberger. Get as many wins as you can. So who do you guys like so far out of the undefeated teams so far? New England's been on a bye, so New England's 3-0. Cincinnati, Denver, Green Bay, Carolina, Atlanta. Dale, to you, who do you think is the most realist out of these?
I don't think none of them real. That's the thing. None of them real. It almost feels like a paper champion almost, like, cause none of them are really sticking out and like dominant. I see everybody's Achilles heel almost, you know, to an extent. So if I had to choose out of all of them, I guess I go with Denver right now, even though it's real. Real, real shaky with it because I don't believe in Cincinnati. I believe Tom Brady any day is going to, like, blow out his arm and he's going to die there's no way he could keep this up like this. And we're going to find out he's on steroids or something at some point, I bet you, in the future. So I guess I got to go with Denver. Green Bay is dope, too, but I just feel like them losing Jordy Nelson is kind of like sticking out there. And with Davante Adams is hurt, too, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So if they're like, okay, let's say, if everybody was at full strength, I would say Green Bay. Mm. But the way it's presented right now, Denver.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would assume you're picking Denver as well.
Well, I mean, that'd be the obvious choice, of course. I mean, okay. They are the best team. Right?
So outside of your team, is there anybody that you...
Realistically, I would say New England. Just because they've been on a tear these first three games. It seems like they're trying to make a statement with the whole Deflategate thing, and they've been picking teams apart, really. So, you know, Tom Brady got AFC Player of the Month, you know, rightfully so, he deserved it. But if I had to choose, gun to my head, I'd go with New England.
Okay. Mm. I might be leaning that way just because Bill Belichick knows how to get it done. You know, I would say Denver has the better defense.
Best D in the league.
Yeah, this year for sure. You know, quarterback, I'm giving Tom Brady the edge just because, you know,
Peyton has looked shaky. Brady's handling.
And, you know, Broncos running offense has been okay. Mm-hmm. They've shown, but, you know.
Today
was a good day. You know, Bill Belichick, somehow he'll just – get LeGarrette Blount. Did you have 4 touchdown days and, you know, just how he gets it done. But, yeah, I still see them too. The rest, yeah, Green Bay, I don't know. And the NFC, they just can't keep losing guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cincy.
No.
I want to like Cincy. Sold. They just can't. Yeah, I'm not believing either. Atlanta.
It's Andy Dalton.
It's Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
It's Andy Dalton.
Atlanta, I think out of them, I could see them really – hitting a stride with what's going on now with, you know, just, you know, new coach bringing in new intensity. And I like what I'm seeing out of Atlanta. Like I said, I need to see more, but I do like what I see out of them.
But I will say that Atlanta being good is good for the country. just like kicking it wise, they just have way more fun at their games if you ever go to Atlanta Falcons game.
That is true. I can second that. I know that. Yeah.
All right, quick rundown for some of these other games with some interesting perspectives. The Colts are looking mad shaky.
Barely beat the Jags.
I mean, they should be 0-4.
Yeah, they should be. Because the Jags kicker will be losing his job. Because he had a chance to win it in the fourth quarter, missed it. Oh, excuse me. He had two chances to win it in the fourth quarter because he missed the first one. They called a timeout, and then he missed it again. And then had a chance to win in overtime, missed that one too. So he's looking for a new job. The Colts got so lucky. Oh, by the way, thank you, Blake Bortles. Started you today because I needed you. Andrew Luck was not playing. They just don't look good. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck wasn't terrible, and they still didn't look all that good. I mean, just defensively, they're okay. Yeah, but Frank offensively, nothing, they're just not moving the ball.
Frank Gore, I'm sitting him. He has no longer is earning the starting spot on one of my leagues. I'm like, come on, dude.
But they're another one. Their O-line's trash.
It is trash.
Trash.
And I was talking to Isaiah about it when I emailed him back. Like, you know, if you're saying the owner wants a Super Bowl, it's like, where the money at? Like, you just got rid of Peyton Manning 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that you knew that team, you were starting over.
Yep.
You were the worst team. You knew you were starting over. Now, all of a sudden, 3 years later, you've done Andrew Luck and a terrible last Trent Richardson trade where you gave a first round pick.
Yep.
You waste his first round pick on a wide receiver.
Yep.
And you don't do anything to protect your straight up $200 million quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen this with a lot of guys like, oh, the quarterback's tight. The line sucks. Well, guess what's going to happen if you don't fix that line? Yeah. Peyton Manning was looking great them years because his line was tight.
His line was good, and now that line has so many holes in it. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Hey, I want to say this. I think Andrew Luck's going to leave Indianapolis when he's free agent.
Well, it's going to be a little tough because they can slap him with that franchise tag.
Yeah, they'll keep him as long as possible, but they will
you got to think his dad is like what he's like the commissioner with the Pac-12 now or something like that?
Yep. I think he's on that playoff committee, isn't he?
Yeah, he is though. You know, yeah, he is. He's on the BCS playoff committee, and he's working for the NCAA like in another capacity too. Mm. He's be the AD for West Virginia and stuff like that. Mm. He ain't gonna let his son go out there and play and stuff like that.
Nah, they're gonna force him, and I think, you know, the crowd will too. We're gonna be like, we ain't forgot you was giving drugs to chicks on the side. We ain't forgot anything just because your shit went away. What, all the players stuff can get brought up? We can bring up Michael Vick shit 8 years later after it happened. You know, but yo shit, you just under the rug. You don't want to pay no money. Like, when the team struggles, and especially if they do not make the playoffs this year for some reason, he getting called out.
Yep.
Like, dude, where the money at?
Pump some money into this team.
Mm-hmm. That sucks.
The Andre Johnson pickup was like amazing to me. I thought, I was like, oh, they're gonna be straight.
You and then me both.
Then I was like, they ain't got no O-line though. So,
and he's been struggling in this game. 2 targets, donut.
Jesus Christ!
And Kobe Fleener balled out for me, so I'm loving that.
And Chip Kelly is gonna lose his job at some point.
Yep.
Shout out to Kurt G.
Now you picked him.
I told him I'm rolling with Kurt G, and them Redskins pulled it out. Jesus Christ, barely, but they won.
Sam Bradford got hurt.
Are you serious?
I think he came back in the game, but yeah, he looked at one point. I think somebody rolled on his knee or egg or something. I think no other quarterbacks on here, so he came back. But I saw that play, and I was like, oh no.
Oh, it's going to happen. He's not going to finish this season.
Nope.
That's what most people say.
Like you were saying, Daryl, DeMarco Murray, 8 carries, 36 yards.
Wasted. Jesus, a waste.
Yeah. He should have taken less money and just stayed in Dallas. Because damn, he ain't doing shit. I mean, the whole team ran not even 20 carries as a team in a 3-point loss. 87 yards total. That ain't going to cut it.
That's a shame.
Jonathan's favorite receiver on there was the star, Riley Cooper. Mm-hmm. 2 for 72 and a touchdown.
The most useless wide receiver in the league. As I said, he caught that pass because you don't have to account for him because he doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. See, whoever was guarding him probably fell asleep at the wheel because he wasn't doing anything the whole game. He was like, well, I ain't got to worry about nothing. Then he caught him off
guard. Oh, he's trying to double up on somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Eagle fans, y'all squad 1-3. Not feeling good about the coach. He got a hot seat coming.
He's been on the hot seat since the offseason. Since he made those stupid moves and got rid of the Shady and Jeremy Maclin and all them boys.
Yeah, you know, I can do it my way. Well, your way is your not way ain't working. Right now. We losing the now 2-2 Redskins. Whoop de doo. Speaking of coaches on the hot seat, over in Miami.
He's gone, man. Philbin's gone. Well, they're gonna fire. He's gonna fire his offensive coordinator, Lozer, Laser, whatever his name is.
How long you think he gets to?
There you go. It Pro Football Talk has reported the Dolphins will decide his future on Monday. So
that means he has no future.
There you go. There it is. Exactly. We're going to discuss how quickly we want to get rid of him.
Because if they say something like that, what's going to happen between tonight and tomorrow that's going to change anything? Exactly. Now, they said Wednesday, they make a discussion. We're talking about Monday, and they're talking about Monday like at 9 a.m. Like, so he's gone.
Exactly. Exactly. He's done.
You know, I almost forgot about that game. I was like, oh, woke up. What? It's a game on? Like, okay. And the Jets was looking like they're trying to blow the damn game.
Yep.
But, you know, came through. What did Ryan Tannehill? 19 of 44. 198.
Nothing. Overpaid. Touchdowns,
2 interceptions.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. Yo, Lamar Miller. Who sat you
him.
Thought about?
Sat him. Sat him.
Should I play
God.
Lamar Miller? No, I shouldn't. And you were correct. 7 carries, 26 yards.
I can't do it. Can't do it no more. It's ridiculous. Miami is garbage. As they said, overpaid Ryan Tannehill, and I've been said they shouldn't have paid Sue that money. They should have spread it around in their defense and on their offensive line, which is garbage.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, it seems like it never works for a guy. Like you say, it worked for J.J. Watt. You can say, well, J.J. Watt didn't leave to go somewhere else. He was already killing on a solid
defense. J.J. Watt does like 50,000 things. J.J. Watt swats passes. J.J. Watt can play every single position on the defensive line. And Ndamukong Suh is a defensive tackle only.
Yep.
J.J. Watt plays everywhere. He plays on offense. I mean, you can't compare the two in that aspect. And Ndamukong Suh, he brings the toughness and the attitude, but
This feels like Albert Haynesworth.
It is.
That's what it feels like.
That's exactly what I called it when it happened. You know, the same thing.
I don't think he's going to, you know, act or fall the hell off the way Haynesworth did.
Cameron Wank ain't done nothing since he's been there. That defense has done nothing since he's got – it looks worse with him on there. So, I don't know.
Hey, man, shout out to – want to give a shout out to Brandon Marshall. 7 receptions, 128 yards.
I sure did start him, though.
Yeah, you did. You keep getting it done.
Yes, sir.
What's Buffalo doing? You know, 2-2. Giants put a whooping on them.
Mental mistakes. They had a touchdown to go down 7 with like a minute left, but it was like a clipping penalty on the offensive line or something. Just mental mistakes. Just offensive. They need Shady McCoy, man. I mean, yeah. I like Carlos Williams, but you need Shady. Shady McCoy is a difference maker at running back, and you need him. And is Sammy Watkins hurt?
Yeah,
he's hurt too.
There you go. I mean, a man's missing his weapon. Tyrod Taylor ain't a top – he's not an elite quarterback by any means. I think he's a pretty good quarterback, but the man, just like any other quarterback, needs his weapons.
He's a black Doug Flutie.
That's an interesting take on it.
Yeah. Basically, that's how he looks back there to me.
But, I mean, he makes pretty – I mean, he can throw the ball pretty well, but he needs weapons. He's one of those guys, he can't carry the load. He needs his weapons to help him out.
Yeah. And then the quick ones.
Browns set, moving on.
Yo, did you see that last play?
Yeah, the Browns just
they
lost.
Missed the kick. Oh, offside.
The Browns lost how the Browns always lose by shooting themselves in the foot. God.
If you're Cleveland at this point, you just need to ride the Johnny Manziel train and try to sell as much merch as you can right now. Just and just ride it and just be like, we're gonna sell as many jerseys as we can before he break both his legs.
Just throw him in there and let him go. Because it doesn't even matter at this point. They're not going to playoffs.
And it's hard because McCown played all right. But
he played okay, but
this man!
But at the same time, Johnny Manziel brings the spark that Josh McCown doesn't have, which is the wheels. He can take off, and you have to account for that. You have to account for him running off, and he made some nice throws the last, you know, the last time he played. But at this point, I mean, what are they? 0-4?
And 1-3.
1-3. Put Johnny in it and let and see what happens. He was didn't they win with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the only one they got is with Johnny Football. Just let him roll.
It's just I do see the hard part in that because you went all offseason basically doubting this fool.
Yeah.
And then if you can't put him in and then three games later yank him.
Yeah.
If you put him in, you're like, all right, we basically giving him the keys all season. Mm-hmm. And if we lose what they got for if he wins what four out of, you know, I mean, basically if he goes wins 25% of his games, then we're supposed to be okay with that.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. Just you spend a first round pick on him.
Yeah,
you need to start him at some point.
You got him. Like clearly, we said he wasn't ready last year.
No.
He did not need to start last year.
I don't think most rookie quarterbacks need to start. I think all of them should be sitting a year at least.
But this time, it feels like it. I mean, he might have. I think he bought himself another week because, you know,
he played well.
Yeah, he ain't the one who jumped all sides.
Yeah,
and all that. But if they do lose again, and we going 1-4, and all this happens again, they're like, it's gonna get tired.
Yep.
They go to week 6, and they only got one win. Put them in.
Yep.
And Oakland, I had high hopes for you.
Raider fans.
Like, hey, they're playing lowly Chicago. And they did the Raiders.
Hate to say it. I mean, Chicago needed Jay Cutler. I mean, as bad as that sounds, they needed him. And he did some decent things and some pretty good things. They leaned on Matt Forte. And, you know, Cutler didn't mess it up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled it out.
All right. And quickly with the two games that, you know, still haven't been decided. Who do you guys see winning this Dallas-New Orleans game?
New Orleans. Actually, you know what? The way New Orleans is playing, probably Dallas.
Is Breeze playing?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, with New Orleans then.
And then we got the Monday night game, Detroit and Seattle.
Seattle's whopping them. It's not even going to be fair. It's not even going to be close.
Yeah, and Detroit's going to have to get rid of Matthew Stafford before Megatron leaves.
I might have to switch my pick because Lynch ain't playing. So I don't know.
Oh, he is not.
I might have to roll with Detroit on that one for the upset.
Mm,
Megatron is due for a Megatron game.
Yes, come on, sir.
I'm just saying.
No, it's like, yeah, Detroit, that is, Stafford just seems to not be. And hey, you know, Brandon Marshall, was that Brandon Marshall? Or somebody was calling him out off season like, oh, well, y'all getting on Cam.
Yep.
What about Stafford?
Yeah, or Dan Le Batard.
Yeah.
Heck, compared to
him. You know, Cam Newton carrying his team.
Yeah, he is.
Matthew Stafford, not so much.
Yeah.
All right, you say what?
He technically sucks a lot, man. Honestly, let's keep it 100. He's horrible.
Yeah. You know, he put up, of course for fantasy, he
puts
top,
up great numbers, but he just don't get it done.
Yeah, he don't get the wins. Counts. And they will let him go because they're like, we ain't trying to lose Megatron.
Hell no.
If you paid him a 9-year damn deal to lock him down.
Exactly.
Figure something out. All right, y'all, let's get into this. Go look at week 5.
Okay.
But we had on a break.
Baylor, what's up?
Uh-oh.
What's happening? We play y'all.
Uh-oh, Denver at Oakland. Yeah,
at Oakland. I wish I could be there in my orange and blue, but I ain't crazy. And I ain't going.
He said I ain't crazy.
I am not going into a shark filled waters in my orange and blue. It's like going in the ocean and just cutting your arm and just letting the blood flow. You will attract some beasts. It's not happening. But I expect us to dominate them and win. Let's go.
That's gonna be a good game.
Oh, I can't wait.
Looked like the most couple games that stand out to me. One is Seattle at Cincinnati.
Mm.
You know, there you go. Andy Dalton, big test.
This is a big test. That is a huge test.
The people are going to be like, oh, you playing Seattle? Yeah, fail. You're going to struggle.
Redskins at Falcons. That could be interesting. Now, because so? That's, to me, that's a trap game for Atlanta.
Okay.
That is a team you could easily overlook and just be like, it's the Redskins. Yeah,
we should be going 5-0.
Easily. Don't be shocked if the Redskins get them a good game. Don't be surprised.
Hey, man, speaking of
and they're playing in a dome?
They are.
I'm just saying.
And, you know, hey, St. Louis at Green Bay. I know Green Bay is tough to play in, but.
Daryl, how you feeling?
I'm not feeling good, not when they got a State Farm insurance dude there.
But, you know, they Louis play has played well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't expect – I could see a blowout, but I wouldn't be surprised if this came down to, like, you know, within under 7 points.
Yeah.
St. Louis plays tough.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be close, but I think Green Bay's going to win, though. Yeah. I think it's going to be closer than people think.
Yeah. And especially if they can run the ball, you know, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you need to do.
And I'm going to be praying for Marcus Mariota because Rex Ryan is going to be hunting.
Yeah, he is. He needs
that
W. Oh,
my God. I pray to God he makes it out okay because Rex Ryan is going to send the house on that fool.
Yeah, it's been in Tennessee. Come on, you got, you know, a week to prepare, 2 weeks to prepare for him.
And Cowboy fans, just take the L now. Because New England's going to kick your ass.
Is that in New England or is that in Dallas?
It's at Dallas.
It's in Dallas.
Oh, and you best believe Tom Brady can't wait to go to Jerry World and just tear it up in front of them Cowboy fans. I'll show you who America's team is. Us. Oh, with Brandon Whedon? Come on, man. Not even close. They're going to kill him.
Brandon Whedon is like 35 years old, too, for the record, I think.
Yes, somewhere he is. He was like 28 coming into the league. You are right about that.
Yeah, because he went to play baseball for a minute before he was at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
That's crazy. So, yeah, man.
And we have another garbage game for Sunday night. The Niners at the Giants.
Saw that.
Come on, man. You kidding me? I mean, Steelers.
I'm picking the Giants on that one.
I hope everybody's going with the Giants. And then Steelers at Chargers. Yeah, that's a little better.
If Ben was there, it'd be more exciting.
Yeah.
But San Diego plays well. Phillip Rivers does, you know, handle his business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coach, you know, Pittsburgh coming off that ugly loss.
Yeah.
You know, people may want to watch because they want to boo Michael Vick.
Exactly.
That's just how some of these fans do out here.
Exactly.
All right, y'all. We're going to take a quick break. We are going to come back, get into some NBA, some college football, and then, you know, hand out some awards.
Yes, sir.
Y'all listen to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
My daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers! Yes!
We know Jonathan loves that.
Y'all, welcome back to the Brothers Lamb Sports Happy Hour.
Yep.
So going in, man, how do y'all feel about your squads? You know, most of the teams have played four games, got some standouts, got some teams that ain't looking that hot. You believe in any of these teams? Andy Dalton, y'all believing in them?
I have doubts.
You know, or, what about Atlanta, Carolina? Or you just, feeling good like John, the team you want to roll with the Broncos.
That's right.
Hit us up, man. Let us know. Email thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. On Twitter, @brotherslayman. On the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know if you are if you're on the verge of committing suicide because your team is not looking too good. But, hopefully it doesn't get to that point. But Raider fans, get at me. Get at me, please. I can't wait for this weekend when the Broncos stomp a hole in them. Baylor, you heard me right. Stomp a hole in them. I can't wait for it. Let's go. Holla.
There we go. Of course, we got the homie Daryl Strata, low cash in the building.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank y'all. Thank y'all, man. Thank y'all.
No doubt. Still sticking with football, heading to the college route now. Mm. And, more upsets continue to happen.
Absolutely.
I'll just start with the first one that's closest to home. Arizona State comes into the Rose Bowl. Whoops your motherfucking ass. Come on, man. 38-23. Number 7, UCLA. We know they dropping.
They got a freshman quarterback. I mean, Josh Rosen's a freshman. Hey, shout out to mom, her alma mater. Stomped a hole in them.
Yep. Yeah, they did.
Well, you know what? This is all setting up, actually, technically, on the low. This is setting up for either two Big 12 teams to make the playoff or two SEC teams to make the playoff.
Mm.
Yeah, well,
that's how it's setting up. That's how it's setting up right now because no one's going to believe the Big Ten. The Big Ten is going to get one in. All right. So then ACC, nobody's going to come out of ACC. Nobody's going to believe in Clemson. Nobody believes in Clemson. Notre Dame had a chance. If they would have beat Clemson, Notre Dame had the track. And I thought UCLA had the inside track before, this weekend and everything. And Utah is basically the best team in the Pac-12. Who's going to put Utah in the playoff?
No, they got to just keep running. They need help. They need a lot of help.
Yeah. So you're breaking down to basically having either two SEC teams in the playoff or two Big 12 teams in the playoff.
Yeah. I mean,
with Ole Miss losing, this is my overall prediction. It's either going to be TCU, Baylor, or OU, one of them, two of them three, or two of Alabama, LSU.
I can see that.
And the winner of the Big Ten, whoever that may be.
I can see that. They always favor putting two SEC teams in.
Oh, of course.
If two of them are good, they're getting in. That's just like money.
Yeah. The only reason I would get two Big 12 teams getting in because I think they're going to beat up on each other in the SEC West so much that you may end up with a two-loss team on the SEC West.
Yeah, I mean, you might. And, I want to see how they do keep going. First year was actually good because we didn't believe in Ohio State really. And, committee got it correct.
Yep.
So I want to see what they do in their second year. But yeah, but like you said, number 25, Florida upsets number 3, Ole Miss, 38-10.
If.
Number 12, Clemson.
It was up 28-0 at the half.
Yeah, they were kicking their butt. It wasn't even close.
Mm-mm. Clemson beat number 6, Notre Dame, 24-22. Like, jeez.
Notre Dame, I mean, you got to give them credit, though. I mean, they took those injuries. You thought hopefully they could ride the table, but unfortunately, injuries catch up with you. Hey, Clemson is balling, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But they one game away from losing to a Duke to being an afterthought. Clemson's always good for dropping a game like to a Duke or somebody. Watch.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, other ones you had number 13 Alabama beating number 8 Georgia in Georgia.
That was surprising. I knew Alabama was going to win, but they dog walked them like literally.
They should have gave Nick Chubb like 40 carries. He was balling.
Man, I watched that game and I woke up from a nap and it was 3-3. I was like, oh dang, okay, this is a good game. Next 3-4 plays in a row was all touchdowns for Alabama, either interception run back or a straight up just bomb.
Should have gave Chubb the ball, man. Dude, he was beasting. That was about the only bright spot for Georgia in that game.
They was rotating quarterbacks. Both of their quarterbacks, Ramsey was rotating with, I forgot the other guy's name, but they were rotating them back and forth because they both were throwing picks.
Jesus Christ.
Other top 25 matchup, you had number 14, Texas A&M, beat number 21, Mississippi State, 30-17. It's A&M, man. Number 15, Oklahoma beats number 23, West Virginia, 44-24.
Oof. Shout out to Oklahoma.
Yeah, they keep doing it. Come close games, you know, Oklahoma State survived at Kansas State, 36-34. Ohio State was very close. Almost like a play away, but they survived at Indiana 34-27.
I would love to hear all them people who was talking all that Cardale Jones first round pick nonsense last year. How does he look now? Not like a first round pick, that's for sure. Ezekiel Elliott looked like a first round pick.
Ezekiel Elliott like a first round pick, dude.
And actually Braxton Miller actually has positioned himself better too on the low.
Yeah, wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing well in the H-back position.
Yep.
Yeah, Ezekiel 23 for 274 and 3 touchdowns. Jeez.
He's a man. He's a beast. The monster.
Yeah, Michigan State. Who could have possibly, you know? Well, I don't know how the committee they love Ohio State might have moved up, but they barely survived Purdue, 24-21.
TCU got to go up though.
TCU.
They are. I think they are though.
Oh man, that TCU game. I mean, where that?
You got knocked the fuck out. I mean,
50-7. 50-7.
I went to my school's alumni thing for my school. We watched I went to Iowa State and watched the KU game, football game. And I looked at the score and it was 40-0 at the half. And I was like, no way possible.
I mean,
no way possible.
That kid Trayvon Boykin is a freaking beast, dude.
20-35, 332, 5 touchdowns. Mm.
Crazy.
And you know what? Honestly, I think Charlie Strong ain't going to make it through this season.
You think so?
He's got one more year, I think. They're going to let him get one more year. Because then the way it looks, they're not going to make a bowl game. They're going to lose to Iowa State. And look the way it looks. The way they're playing.
Yeah, the way they're playing right now, you right about that. They ain't beating nobody.
Oh, they're going to be in the cellar with Kansas, it looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've already seen some of the talk Charlie Strong got. Some of it is for – I'm saving it for my what the fuck. But that one picture, I will say, they had a picture where it was like talking about Texas loss after loss, and it was him standing up,
on the
on the bench. I was like, they ain't looking like 5'4".
Like, damn. He is a little dude, yeah.
And then Baylor, number 5, whoops up on Texas Tech, 68-35. Just ass whoopings for days.
Yes, sir.
All right, so, yeah, looking at the AP poll, after week 5, Ohio State still number 1. TCU moves up to number 2.
Mm.
5 first-place votes.
I knew they had to move up. They had to.
Baylor moves up. They 3rd.
Mm.
10th-place vote. Michigan State drops to 4. That's funny how that happened. Like, oh, Ohio State ain't going to drop. Like, they the one almost lost, but okay. Utah moves up 5 spots, and she got 7 first-place votes at number 5.
Nice.
Yeah, Utah had a bye. Utah had a bye, too.
Yeah. Clemson moves up. They number 6. Mm. LSU, Norse Award winner, Leonard Fournette, will be brought up around that. He keeps beasting. Got them at 7. Mm-hmm. Alabama moves up 5 spots. They 8. Mm. Texas A&M actually has 1 first-place vote. Shocking. They moved up. They number 9. Mm. Running out the top 10 is Oklahoma. And Florida jumped the hell up at number 11. Yeah. Moved up 14 Ooh, spots. Damn.
Lord. Hey, when you beat a top 3 team, that's what happens. I wasn't really sold on Ole Miss anyway, but, you know, it is what it is.
I never sold on Ole Miss.
Mm-mm.
All right, Josh, let's get to this NBA. Got a couple more emails about this.
Yes, sir.
Of course, Baylor the Great coming through.
What's happening, brother?
With his title, I'm the all-time creator of all times, LOL. My top 5 crossover / handle legends. Number 5, Jamal Crawford, the ageless penetrator. Number 4, Baron Davis, Drew League Baron.
Ooh, BD. Okay.
He did have a handle, though.
Number three, yeah. Jason Williams, White Chocolate.
Yes. From Sacramento Kings. Yeah, beast. Absolutely.
Number two, Tim Hardaway, the creator. Yeah,
okay. With the killer crossover.
He was
murdered for us.
And he has at number one, Allen Iverson, the master.
I'm already this. You got to have, if GP ain't on this list, I don't know why we have a list in. I thought GP was going to be on this list.
Yeah, who did we say you meant? You had a guy that you mentioned.
I said,
we can't think of his name, but it's a homie from the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes.
I can't think of his.
Forget his freaking name.
Yeah. Back in all that, when we was kids.
That was one of those too. Ray for Austin, too.
Yeah, Ray for Austin was, Skip to My Lou?
Skip to My Lou. Yeah. Yeah,
I said Ray Foster. Yeah, another person that people don't know about that stupid crazy handles, Jamal Tinsley.
Jamal Tinsley did have some handles.
He did have some
handles. Jamal is that stupid.
Oh, hold up, you're breaking up a little bit.
I said I think he's a single assist game leader too. I think didn't Jamal Tinsley have the single most assists in one game at one point?
I'm not sure.
I think
about
he
that.
Did. Yeah, at some point.
I think it was 21.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it was 21.
Yeah, but yeah, I heard Nate Archibald had a sick handle back in the day. It's hard to say. I mean, nice list. Yeah, Hardaway, I mean, killing fools back in the day.
And then AI, of course, just got the famous, I crossed up the best of all time. Like, he did cross up. He crossed him up.
Like something nasty.
And scored.
Yeah.
You were what? Like,
oh.
And that was just his, that was the initiation of the answer.
Yeah, one of them pound for pound.
I got a funny story about Allen Iverson, too. Like, it's interesting y'all brought that up. Future father-in-law, his boy was the accountant for the NBA. So he did all the rookie symposium, like how do you manage your money, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
He said Allen Iverson had 30 dudes waiting in the hallway for him to get out his class, ready to just go spend money.
Damn. He was just like already on the hallway.
He said it was like at a junior college or something like that. You know, like it was like a classroom style. They in the hallway. He said he had to go out there like two times and tell them like to, you know, settle down and everything because they was out there in the hallway chilling.
Damn.
Waiting for him to get out. Waiting for him to go out and spend some money.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, you got all that pressure from jump.
Yeah.
And I guess you just was like, I ain't going to worry about what I learned in here.
Exactly.
He brought all of Hampton with him, didn't he?
It felt like he was carrying that whole damn town.
Yeah.
And I went to school in Hampton. It was just, football, he was known. I was like, you play football and basketball like that?
Yep.
You make a big deal out of that.
So, Chris, when he was, when you were in Hampton, was he, like, was people like, that's the dude, like, that's my boy, like, was, like, the town really holding him down, or?
I don't know if he, I'm trying to think, was he there when I was there in high school? He might have been at Georgetown, but, like,
I'm sure it was people talking to him a lot, like, he was the man, like, he was the dude.
Yeah, they did, and they took football serious as hell down there.
Well, because Vic and his brother played at Hampton, didn't they?
They played in there. In Hampton Roads area.
Portsmouth. They're from like Portsmouth or something, right?
Something like that, around that area.
In that VA area. Yeah, they got talent down there. They got a lot of talented football players that come out of there. Oh, then he has a quick question. If you had to pick a moment in sports to be a part of, whether it was you actually creating it or just a part of it, what would you choose? Example, the game winner over Russell at the top of the key, catching the ball with three fingers on the sideline for a touchdown, or being a part of a dynasty like the Spurs or Bulls. Doesn't have to be from an event that happened already. You can create your own. Mine's would be a mixture of the Texas versus USC ending when everybody knew Vince Young was running, and when Elway dove for the key first down in the red zone against Green Bay in the Super Bowl 32. Mine would be 5 seconds left, block snap, wide receiver well covered, nickel blitz, AFC championship game against the Pats in Foxborough, and started from the wild card, touchdown, and I'm out. P.S., I'm all for Forte possibly going to Denver. It's not about the rivalry with me when it comes to a Hall of Fame running back going to a contender team to finish his career off. Let's not create another Barry Sanders issue. Chicago already has started the fire sale and might as well dump the whole squad, including Forte. Let that man live. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, Baylor.
Shout out, brother.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate the email, but He ain't going. We'll just squash that Matt Forte stuff. He ain't going to Denver. It's not happening. We need offensive line help. We don't necessarily need running back help.
Yeah, if I had a moment, he's talking about a moment, I have to go to Deion Sanders.
And hold up, start again, man, because you're breaking up.
On the plan to play off, then hitting a double to the game winner for the Braves. The mom would be Deion Sanders when he did a double for double playoff game and got an interception in with the Falcons running same.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You were breaking up still, but doing football and baseball.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm with that.
Yeah, with Deion Sanders, where he did the double. Yeah, the double for double. You gotta go with that.
Okay. You know yours, John.
Me, I would probably, if I had a scenario that I would just want to be a part of, you know what? It would be, you know what? You remember the playoff game with San Francisco and Green Bay when Terrell Owens caught that pass mm-hmm. and was crying. That scenario, but winning the Super Bowl with that catch.
Okay.
Just catch it, take a couple shots, boom, boom, still hold the ball. We win the Super Bowl game. I am the man. And I just hold that Super Bowl trophy up in my hands, give it a kiss. I am the greatest. Mm. There it is.
And for me, it might be basketball with a – and the funny thing is for me, I might actually do it on a defensive play. Mm. Probably I would say for me, and I want it to be in a championship though. So it can't be against, can't do it against Kobe Bryant because I want to do it in the Spurs uniform. However, I would like to say up by one, 5 seconds left, guarding Kobe Bryant, tries to make the move and I stuff him. Game over. You lost.
Ooh, on Kobe with the stuff.
Soft. Yeah, or I would say for a recent game that actually happened, I like to be the dude who grabs the rebound so Ray Allen doesn't get that shot off, bring the championship on the floor. We got it. LeBron James got one championship. You 1-4. You can't beat the Spurs.
Yeah.
And we coming back next year and beating you again.
Oh, that's funny.
Can't be mine. But, yeah, he brought that up with Forte. Yeah, we got to mention that the Bears traded Jared Allen to the Panthers.
Good.
Yeah, start that fire, Sam.
Exactly.
Like, okay, Jay Cutler looking hot. Y'all want him? You can have him for cheap.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I think people sleep on the Deion Sanders situation where he got an interception run back for a touchdown and hit a double in the playoff game the same night for the Braves. That was a hell of a night for Deion.
Mm. No, night. Yeah, doing two sports is still
– it's hard enough as it is.
Do y'all think somebody could do that again? Do two sports for real again like that? Or would teams not even allow you to? Like, you look here, if you're going to get this big money, we're going
to
make you choose.
Teams won't allow you to. Especially if you're a high profile athlete and star player on the team. They just won't let you, a la Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
We just not even going to risk that you getting hurt playing another sport and ruin our chances of doing well. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I think you could probably if a player's going to do it for football, he probably would have to be on the defensive end.
I think
he can't get quarterback. Hell no.
I think baseball would be more on board with it than football. I think baseball would probably be like, I don't care.
Right. You know, if you're taking off certain games, they'll adjust. If
it's 162 of them, we can manage. Football, you got 16 games. They ain't letting you do that. No. Mm-mm. Too much risk involved.
No, man, but shout out to you and got one from the homie Spirit.
Oh, boy.
From the Hoopla Show.
I know he's ready.
Almost time. What up, fellas? We are finally in the same month that the NBA season starts in, and now I'm slowly starting to regain my smile. It's the time when NBA.com and ESPN start releasing their fantasy basketball predictions, and as I watch this replay of this Clippers-Nuggets preseason game that came on today that I didn't even know about, I find myself like Jonathan was on your last episode watching the Denver football game in the background. Let's go! Speaking of the Clippers, they have some solid pieces that they've added, and they look good.
Yeah, they do.
Granted, in this game, they're playing the Nuggets, but still. Wesley Johnson and Pierce were solid additions to a squad that made it to the second round of the playoffs last year. Man, I'm telling you, or to use Teddy D's favorite quote, man, listen. This Western Conference is going to be sick again this year. you could predict any of 5 or 6 teams to legitimately come out of the West, and you'd have a valid argument. Mm. Times like this, I wish my favorite squad was in the whack-ass East. No offense, Jonathan.
Thank you.
But you have to admit, between the Spurs, Clippers, Thunders, Warriors, and Grizzlies, among others, that is a tough, tough conference.
Yeah, it is.
Makes me want to bring up my argument again for getting rid of the conferences, but I won't. Makes me wonder why teams from the East get to benefit from an outdated system because it's tradition, but I won't. So check this out instead. Let's say that there was no such thing as an East or West conference and it went by top 16 records. Mm-hmm. Here's what the playoffs would have looked like last year. Number 1, Golden State. 2, Atlanta. 3, Houston. 4, Clippers. 5, Memphis. 6, San Antonio. 7, Cleveland. God damn. 8, Portland. 9, Chicago. 10, Dallas. 11, Toronto. 12, Washington. 13, New Orleans. 14, OKC. 15, Milwaukee. 16, Boston. And the first round matchups would be Golden State versus Boston, Atlanta versus Milwaukee, Houston versus OKC. Interesting. Clippers versus New Orleans. You know, Memphis versus Washington. That might be pretty good too. San Antonio versus Toronto, Cleveland versus Dallas, and Portland versus Chicago.
Now, in fairness, reading that list, it was like half Eastern teams. So, to an extent, the East is not necessarily benefiting. I mean, granted, their records aren't as great as the Western Conference. But clearly, I mean, still a lot of teams in the East are doing well.
Yeah, he does mention that. He says all the first teams mentioned in the matchups would have home court. Most of these will be intriguing matchups to me. I mean, if you're going to win a title, you got to go through all the teams anyway. And using this template as an example is not as lopsided as one may think. There are 9 teams from the West and 7 teams from mm-hmm. the East. What do y'all think? I respect you guys' opinion about Anthony Bennett and other things. All things, actually. Well, just add him to the list of things we don't agree about, and that list will probably continue to grow as time passes. I'm not only cool with it, I welcome it. This is what podcasting is all about.
Yep.
That's what's up. As far as our rants about injuries, understand that it's not about injuries. It's about timing. Why do they release the health of someone months after discovering it? We don't see the point. If Taj Gibson said the doctor doesn't see how he played on it, then it probably wasn't discovered 2 weeks ago. Had it come out a week or two after they were bounced from the playoffs, we wouldn't have win on it. But man, that was 4 or 5 months ago. Let's just start the new season and return bigger and better than ever before. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do agree with Jonathan. If LeBron or anyone else talks about injuries from months ago, they should be gone after 2. I believe in fairness and being just. But Storm ain't going to say shit negative about LeBron. All right, y'all. Love the show as always. Keep doing what you do. Peace. Spear G, one half of Hoopla, the GSPN. LOL. What up, Spirit?
What up, Spirit? Yeah. As the email said that I sent y'all, make sure Storm ain't no hypocrite. Y'all going to diss my Bulls. She better be dissing LeBron for bringing up them old injuries. I don't want to hear it.
I know Spirit's going in. I sent one recently off their last show. I'm like, all right, you like going in on people who got injuries. Look at your squad. I mean, well, I don't know which squad is her squad, but I was like, yo, Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade, banged up. You know, they coming off of injuries, you know, and since she does pull for the Cavs too.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Anderson Varejao be staying on the injury report. So –
yeah.
You know, Anderson Varejao gets hurt in November. Like, here we go again.
Exactly.
That just seems to happen.
Exactly.
As far as the matchups look good. Like, look, it could work.
Mm-hmm.
It would still be entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just do. Now, travel would be an issue. I will admit that. You know, because if you got, you know, Los Angeles versus Washington, it's the damn first round of the playoffs. He's like, that's a lot of damn travel.
Yeah.
So I know that's part of it, but I want to see the Eastern teams get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the West drafts well, seems to GM well. You know, I think Laker fans may have something to say about that. But most of the team, you know, the West lucks up, drafts well, and they just add guys how they yeah. need to.
Yeah.
If you can have more East teams like Milwaukee, you know, who kind of draft, and then like maybe by the second or third year, these young picks start playing. then you can get a free agent like Greg Monroe. Mm-hmm. You know, then you can make something happen.
Exactly.
But you know what? I'm fine with the way it is. There's no divisions no more. The best eight from each conference. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
So. I'm gonna say I think that theorem that he has is great, but I think it should still be 18s from the East, 18s from the West, like the best eight from the East, best eight from the West, and then you can reseed them like that.
Okay.
Because it's good for it, because you don't want the money to be all stationed. I mean, financially for the NBA, you want there to be Eastern teams there just financially, but you know, for it to be that way. So I would think that I like that theorem, but just not seeding the best 16 teams throughout the league, just the eight best in the East, eight in the West, and then reseed them amongst each other for the playoffs would be fine.
Okay. That's not bad. What do you think of his he felt – we were discussing Anthony Bennett with him. He feels Anthony Bennett is the biggest number one draft pick draft bust ever. Would you agree with that?
We can't say he's the number one draft pick worst bust. That's – got to go to like Michael Olakande or somebody like
Thank
that,
you.
Right?
That's what we say. He just said, because I think no other number one pick, I think, has been cut from a team. Like, yeah, basically, you know, traded and then cut.
But my argument is he hasn't been given a fair shot at all.
Yeah, he has. We haven't really got to see him play.
Thank you.
We saw how much Michael Olakande sucked. Yeah. We saw him for a few years with the Clippers. We Thank knew you. He sucked.
That's all I got to say. Yeah.
But, you know, if he doesn't make his next contract, you know, if he's out within like 5 years, yeah, we can say that.
He'll
but
go down as one of the biggest. I don't know if the biggest though.
I don't know if he's worse than Kwame Brown.
Because again, that draft was supposed to be, that draft was weak anyway.
That draft was weak.
So
isn't that the worst? I think the worst draft was what 2000.
Yeah, they said it's just the 2000 was the worst one.
Yeah, and you can – what is it? What, one All-Star? What, two All-Star appearances in that whole draft or something like that? Crazy.
Something like that.
Something crazy. In the first round, that was bad.
Tyson Chandler was the only one on there that's decent, right?
And then Eddie Dad, Griffin at a Seton Hall. I'm never going
to
forget that.
RIP to Eddie Griffin.
Yeah. That shit was a
That's funny.
Isn't that one where Houston traded Richard
they
Jefferson?
They traded for Eddie Griffin.
Yeah, and you were like, okay. Yeah, my man. Shout out to you Spirit. Always appreciate the feedback.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we got some news from the NBA. Talking about injuries already.
Yep.
And it's the Cavs too. Iman Shumpert out 12 to 14 weeks after having wrist surgery. Like, damn.
So we just paid you $40 million and now you just can't play now. Okay. And the hits just keep coming. I mean, first is Kyrie Irving, he out. You know, Kevin Love has back issues, quote unquote. Now Iman Shumpert's out for 14 weeks. So he's out till January 2, basically. I don't know, man. Well, probably longer because then you got to get back in shape.
Yeah.
Get your rhythm back and all that. Like February after the All-Star break, he'll be back. Like, Jesus Christ. So
yeah, maybe he'll play on Christmas at the Christmas game.
And now they don't have Mike Miller anymore.
Nope, he's gone with the Nuggets.
J.R. Smith going to have to step it up. He and Mo Williams, they're going to have to step it up.
Yeah.
Because you ain't got no money to pay nobody else.
No. J.R. Smith happy because he's going to get his starting spot.
Yeah.
Because that should have been Iman Shumpert starting. He's like, oh, starting spot back. But, it you know, of course, it gets worse. Tristan Thompson decided not to pick up the Cavs' $6.8 million qualifying offer before
that
deadline.
Nonsense.
So I've seen the only way he gets signed now is either if – Cleveland signs him outright to a contract, or
another team signs him and they match or whatever.
But he's a restricted free agent. You're like, damn. And LeBron has come out and said that's a distraction.
Well, no duh, LeBron. Where were you 5 months ago when this was a distraction? I mean, well, clearly the GM, LeBron James, is now starting to get a little upset.
The GM.
He is GM coach / owner. And I personally, I think he's on Cleveland's side. Personally, I know his agent represents both of them, but dude, I know you. It's one of the things like, you know, I know y'all cool, whatever. You want to take care of your boy. $80 million is way more than taking care of Tristan Thompson. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying him the max dollars. Why would I pay somebody who doesn't even play 30 minutes a game Why am I paying him max dollars? What is he going to do? Rebound? Well, play good defense? That's not worth max dollars. Max dollars is you are one of the top 10 players in the league. That is max dollars. Yes. If you ain't top 10, you ain't getting max dollars. That's just period.
No, because you're not on the level of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And you could argue if your GM / player coach decided that you was the starting power forward, he wouldn't have recruited Kevin Love.
Thank you. So I personally think LeBron's kind of like, hurry up and finish. Yeah. I think he's more frustrated with Tristan Thompson for trying to hold out for the freaking max. Like, dude, they're paying you a fair freaking contract. Take it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Or just, if we take the 1 year, we ain't coming back. Like,
then take it. Right. Deuces. Take it. But now you screwed yourself because you ain't sign it. So now you basically got to take what they give you.
Yeah.
If you want to play.
But Tristan's got to play for himself, though. He's got to get the contract. He's got to go for what he wants,
Look, he can't be it. If he wants to trace max money, I'm not mad at him.
He should have signed the 1 year tender then and just went about his business as a free agent.
Because if you say, if you don't give me max, I'm not signing. And they may be like, all right, now we ain't signing then.
And now he just ruined his leverage because he didn't sign the 1 year tender, which means now he either has to sign the contract that they offer him or another team has to pony up. No team is ponying up max dollars for him. And if he chooses not to sign anything, he's just going to be a restricted free agent next year anyway. So he's screwed himself. You should have signed the 1 year tender, idiot. You and your agent wanted to be big and bad and puff out your chest a little bit and say, no, we want this. And well, your leverage point has fallen off because now they hold all the leverage now. They hold all the cards. Period.
Yes, is it agent? Is it Rich Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, he did it with Eric Bledsoe.
And he's banking on the fact that it's going to piss off LeBron, and LeBron's going to basically force them to pay him the max dollars. I bet you that's what he's thinking. I bet you that's his thought process.
Yeah, but the part that's just fucked up was like, all right, he went to me. LeBron is smart enough, and I'm not saying he's got to be on the owner's side all the time because I don't know how they make it, but he's rich enough to understand that you can't just be throwing money here and there. Like, look, you're going to pay the luxury tax. I'm like, well, LeBron, you pay some.
Thank you.
If you think it's so cheap, and just putting this squad together and having to fork off an additional 80 to 100 some odd million dollars on for tax, and then if I do it again, I'm gonna be paying like 150,
50, 60,
and then next thing I'm paying 280 the year after that. Because I remember he had an issue with it in Miami with Mike Miller getting cut. And I'm like, dude, but that's a lot of money.
This is the thing is that he basically told Dan Gilbert, "You got to do whatever I say if I'm not coming back." So that's the issue right there. Like, going back to Jonathan saying that he's the GM. He is the GM, so he can just make them go on electric cap as long as he wants.
He can, and this is Dan Gilbert's fault because you
screwed it up the first time.
Like, oh,
screwed it up the first time.
He ain't gonna win before we win, and he come back 2 years later, and everybody is kissing his butt for coming back, and I guess you did too. And this is, I don't know. We're going to have a whole coaching issue that's going to be talked about for them unless they win. How long will he be there? It never ends.
Yeah.
More interesting talk. Stephen A. Smith came out earlier this week was like, Kevin Durant could be interested in joining the Lakers next summer if he doesn't go back to Oklahoma City. And Durant was like, don't be lying on me, bruh.
Yeah, basically said he lied, and that was funny.
He's going to D.C., though. That's the thing. He's going to D.C.
Oh, he's staying in OKC.
I don't see why. Why would you stay in OKC?
Because they're balling. I get to win in the West. In a small market. I told Chris, I think he's going to do something similar to what Tim Duncan did. Tim Duncan could have went to a larger market and easily, stolen the headlines, but he saw.
Well, he was like an inch away from signing with Orlando back then, right?
Because he was close.
He was close.
That was supposed to be the first big three. It was supposed to be him, Grant Hill, McGrady.
And then he thought about it and then was like, you know what? maybe I better stay in San Antonio. Yeah. And it was probably the best decision he ever made in his life. Because had he gone to Orlando, he would have lost Grant Hill. We don't know if T-Mac would have become T-Mac that he was. Yeah. So we don't know. So to me, Tim Duncan did the smart thing. He was like, I'm in a place. They're going to take care of me. You know, the city loves him, all that good stuff. I think Kevin Durant's going to do the same thing. He's in a small market, but the city loves him. He's making buku money. It's not like they can't pay him money.
You think DC has better? Doesn't DC have better pieces? You think around to put around him?
OKC has another top five player on that team with him. So no, in that aspect, because on the Wizards you got who? You got John Wall who's good. Yeah, you got Bradley Beal who's starting to become kind of injury prone. Then you got Otto Porter who we don't know. Nene is on and off. Mm-hmm. Gortat is cool. I mean, OKC, you got Russell. I mean, you got Russell Westbrook. You still got Ernest Cantor.
Yeah,
you still got Serge Ibaka. You added Deion Waiters, who off your bench. Flip.
Augustine is a solid point guard.
They got better pieces, I think.
You know, and they got a new coach. Hard part is, like, they are a serious contender.
Yeah.
And they can win it all. He goes to Washington. Yes, it's easier.
It is easier.
Yeah, his chances of getting to the finals is probably easier. You know, but it's that playing at home thing that not every player likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it's hard to do that.
Look at what Derrick Rose is going through.
we're gonna get to him in a second, but yeah. And out of him and Westbrook, I was telling Jonathan, I could see Westbrook being the one more eager to leave. I think Durant probably likes the fact that Oklahoma City is a low key city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him with the Lakers, I could, in terms of being a Laker, and I think somebody, others have asked us this question, I, being from L.A. and seeing how the Laker organization is normally, not how they are now, but the type of player that they would want, they want somebody more on Westbrook's emotional level.
Yes.
Durant is...
He's too quiet.
Yeah, he's all, you know, Durant's all
he's
that.
He's too passive.
Second, you know, best player in the league. You know, if he comes to the Lakers, he's killing. But Westbrook would seem to, especially coming after Kobe Bryant, would seem to be the best fit to be
a Laker.
Yeah.
A better Laker.
Yeah.
You know, because as Laker fans know, you know, it's something different about Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
You got to want to be a Laker. Dwight didn't want to be a Laker. That's why we hate Dwight Howard. It's like, God damn it.
But then the fun thing, that's his home would be his home team also. But he has that little edge, you know, especially from a guard.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe had that edge. Magic had that edge.
Jordan had it.
Mm-hmm. Even Jerry West, who seems cool. West had that edge.
Started Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm. So, on that end, yeah. But I was like, wow. And then Stephen A. Smith, I know, came back to his ass.
He came on him. Came at KD. And I'm sorry, but, again, I'm always going to be on KD's side on this. I'm sick of sources. I'm tired of sources said all the freaking time. It just gets on my nerves because you don't know if it's true or not. And it clearly gets on these cats' nerves too because Kevin Durant spoke on it. So I get annoyed with the sources say. Just tell me what it is. Just tell it like it is. That's all okay. I want.
This is so I pulled it up. Durant responded on Twitter. If you ask me a question, I'll talk about them, Durant said. But like I said before, I have people who I talk to about everything, and I know for a fact that they didn't talk to him, so he's making up stories. And then Stephen A. Smith turned it up, said, at no time did I ever say I spoke to KD or his family or his brothers, friends, teammates, etc. I can assure you all I have on several occasions in the past. I said I heard from folks I know in a league I've been covering for 19 years that if he were to leave OKC as a free agent, these are the cities I was told he was considering. OKC, LA, Miami, DC, New York. I stand by it all. And that is that. His assertion that I was lying is not only false, but totally uncalled for, especially from a player who receives nothing but praise, not only from me, but from practically every media member you can find. Yet, for some reason, we're all the same folks who don't know shit about the game of basketball, thought he could give a fuck about. Essentially, individuals he wishes he'd never have to talk to, that he's being forced to tolerate as if someone has done something to him of all people. Don't know what has happened to Mr. Durant over the years, but I know this much. We all win with his return because he's an absolute superstar. The NBA is better with him. We're all at a loss without him. It just appears that at KD Trey 5 needs to learn something about today's world in professional sports. We don't have to talk to him to talk about him. Folks like me will still be here watching, listening, waiting, reporting, whether he likes it or not. While he's here and long after he's gone, time to get used to it. Like, wow, okay. He's got a point. You know, I wouldn't call him a liar per se, but we know we get all these sources and it's all rumors and stuff. And mm-hmm. if you're like, well, I don't want rumors being talked about me, it's like, well, get the fuck out of the league.
Yeah.
Don't be a superstar then. Don't be a celebrity. Just be a quiet, do have a regular job. That way, nobody, no crowds are going to be talking about you like that. And I'm like, damn, okay, Stephen A. Smith.
What are your thoughts, Daryl?
Stephen A. Smith, he's kind of a sucker in general, so it's kind of hard for me to really take anything he says, you know, pretty validly. Even though he's a great journalist, though, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Like he's put his bones in, and he's got decent sources, but I just can't see KD going to LA.
I can't see him just telling people that shit.
No,
already. Yeah.
No,
yeah, or telling somebody inside, like somebody enough that's truck. You know what? Maybe he was drunk in the club one night. He's talking to a girl like, man, I was thinking about going to L.A., you know, and then they told somebody and then he got that source. That's the type of thing it sounds like with that.
Mm. Yeah, because, I mean, it's okay to speculate. I mean, he is going to be a free agent. He's going to be the hot free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he should be. But, of course, we know Mr. One and out, LeBron James is probably going to opt out again and then yep. – He'll be, but he ain't going nowhere.
No.
Unless they win, and then it's a different story, which they not. But, yeah, I hope for Durant's sake, I'm missing this. I hope he comes out right, especially before the season starts, and is like, I'm not talking about this at all. If you keep asking me, I'm not talking about it. You know, I'm focused on playing, getting to the playoffs, playing for a championship. When the season's over, we can talk about it. But as far as this season, I'm under contract. I'm not talking about it.
Exactly.
And just play that card. And at some point, people will just stop asking you. That don't mean that we're going to be talking about it and our first take is going to be talking about it every day mm-hmm. until you sign a contract. You know, so, you know, good luck with that.
Steve Naismith just got to calm down. He's getting too hyped.
Yeah, he do not like being called out on Twitter at all. Well, somebody go on him on Twitter, he will turn it up.
Well, it's interesting that Stephen A. is like he's almost like he wants to go back. Like, or do you want to be a beat writer, or do you want to do First Take? I don't think he can do both. If that makes sense.
No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, he can't. You can't because you're not going to get your sources aren't going to be as fluid because you're not in the mix. You're not really moving and shaking and really hanging out because you got to show this every day that you got to prepare for.
Yeah, and First Take is one of those. It is a show in the sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show. Skip Bayless is going to show his ass and just whatever, you know, slant he can take that's going to get the most views, he's going to do it. Because, yep. you know, especially in the sports, you know, media, people love hearing somebody who's straight like, I think this, and it's totally illogical.
Because
mm-hmm. everybody will call in and argue the point. Like, what? You stupid. And he just keep it going.
Keep on.
Yeah. Exactly. Of course, it's like, look, everybody loves LeBron. LeBron ain't really all that to me. Everybody's calling in. Yep. Everybody's calling him a dumb. Everybody want to see what he's going to say. So I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I feel you. It does feel like a show a lot of times on First Take. And you're like, so now you do the beat right. And now you bet, quote unquote, turn that off.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, it's you can't do that. It's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of your boy, Derrick Rose, took an elbow to the face in practice. Orbital fracture surgery and is out 2 weeks.
Thank God it's only 2 weeks.
Yeah, because before it was, we didn't know.
He going to be rocking that Rip Hamilton mask.
Yep, Mike Conley wearing his. But I know this was before he made some comments that Jonathan was frustrated about.
Oh, you know, I'm a Bulls fan too, so I was definitely frustrated as well.
It was one of those things. I wasn't mad so much at what he said. He just didn't have to say it. Yeah. It was unnecessary to even say it. It's 2 years from now. What? And it really came off Very kind of like that Latrell Sprewell shit. I can't feed my kids with the $280 million I made. Like, what are you talking about? I understand your intentions are good. You want to make sure your child and his children and their families is all taken care of for the long haul. But don't slap us in the face acting like, well, we comfortable right now. Bruh, you are more than comfortable. Don't give me that.
I mean, he got that rape charge sitting out there.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then he got that sitting over his head. I don't know, man. Yeah, well,
that was supposedly some group sex or some shit. Like, damn.
I don't know. I'm at a point right now. I think that injury was karma. That was karma smacking him in the face saying, what you said? Uh-uh. You don't. Your focus needs to be on basketball. Let me just take you out of it for a little bit and make you refocus yourself. So he'll be back in a couple weeks. Should be good to go. Is what it is. And hopefully this whole situation. Once they start winning, nobody's going to care.
Yeah. Yeah. And go, yeah. One thing, it's hard, you know, and I'm speaking from somewhat of an outsider because I didn't grow up in a lot of those communities that a lot of these ball players do. Mm-hmm. But I have a healthy understanding of money and what it can do. If you come from a place that you're saying is that poor, if you get in, it's like hitting the lotto, but like four times. And you like, if your family is struggling like that, you can, if you make enough money where you bringing in, like, you can put that money away, even if you put it away and didn't touch it in a bank and just let it grow interest and just eat off the interest, your kin is straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now what they do with the money and how they invest it and turn that into some serious, you know, wealth, you know, that's a different story. You know, that's changing generations. That's a different story. But right now, if you get like 95, if I come into that and I sign a contract and I know I'm getting about 70, 80 million over the next 5 years, I'm not being like, well, I'm not feeding my, look, my kids' whole college is paid for because I'm putting that away and I'm going to leave them enough money so they'll be all right. I'm not leaving them money like, hey, you know, well, my kids can't afford no 8-bedroom house. They can't afford a $20 million house in California. I don't care about that. That ain't surviving.
Yeah.
You know, can they get themselves like a what? 600-700 3-bedroom house? Live comfortably.
$600,000 house.
Something. Yeah, kind of, you know, you live in between less than your means. You can survive. You can have a nice whip.
And you ain't got to work.
Right. And you work a job, but you got all this income and you can build your own, you know, you can have 2-3, you know, houses, buildings, exactly. Whatever that, and investments. But this Latrell Sprewell shit, like, I can't, you can't feed your kids. I was like, no, you set them up to a lifestyle that you can't maintain.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to understand. That's what, you know,
Tristan maybe Thompson got on the same thing. I can't feed my kids with 80 mil.
Mm-hmm. You trying to cash in. I get that, but don't
use that excuse. Yeah, don't pull that.
No, because nobody is going to have some sympathy for you.
Nope.
You really think your homies who still in the same spot that you were in when y'all grew up and be like, oh, 80 million ain't gonna help you out, nigga?
Exactly.
Eat a dick. Yeah. Help me with, give me some of that then.
Exactly.
But they probably are.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. They probably are giving them money.
And, you know, Warriors coach Steve Kerr takes a leave of absence to recover from back surgery.
Mm.
Like, I think said he heard it, I think, during the playoffs or something.
Oh.
That season. It's like, oh.
Kudos to him for toughing it out and saying, F it, I'm just going to win with my squad.
Yeah, he did it up. Too bad they're not going to make it back to the finals.
Mm, who you got this season?
San Antonio, man. It's hard to say.
And who?
Ty and Michael Jordan.
Cleveland.
Oh, you serious, man? Oh, you picked the enemy?
Oh, we know what else will happen.
Look, man, the problem is that we ain't got nobody.
Yeah, we do. We got Jimmy Butler, my friend.
Yeah, I know, but
Powell, Joakim Noah's healthy. Taj Gibson healthy. Come on, bro.
Cleveland throwing like 12 people at you, man.
They missing some people, so some key but people.
But that's early in the regular season. We talking about when playoffs come, they should be at full strength.
Should be. Hey, I'm rolling with my Bulls.
I don't know. I'm with the Bulls. I'm just saying, if you're someone just telling me to project, it's going to be San Antonio, Cleveland again.
I hope not.
LeBron don't want that.
If that happens, I hope San Antonio kicks their ass.
They'll sweep them.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to happen. LeBron gonna be like, God damn it, again? Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's sweet Cleveland.
Yeah, because I mean, what? I mean, let's, I would talk shit. They are one, you know what, free throw made, one offensive rebound
guy. One Chris Paul crazy game.
You know, one, you know, Ray Allen missed shot from basically being 0-3 against San Antonio in the finals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he don't want that. He's like, go on stay, come back.
I'll take my chance with you.
That's funny.
Don't stay, don't want none either. And quickly, before we get into these awards, got to give some love to the Dodgers. You know, it is, we don't talk a lot of baseball, but it is, it's playoff time in the MLB.
Yo, how you, Daryl, how is the city feeling about them St. Louis Cardinals?
Man, the Cardinals always get love here, man. It's that's the biggest team period of any sport here by far. They always, I mean, this is, they call it title town. So the Cardinals are always good, man. And I love Jason Hayward Bay has been killing, man. And I'm glad it's a brother on the Cardinals that's been killing. And he's been, you know, what he was, what people thought he was going to be in Atlanta when he first came into the league. So it's going to be big, man. I mean, I'm talking about a sellout. They sell out almost every other game, man, even regular season games. So it's going to be big here, man, especially if we play the Cubs in the playoffs, which it looked like we may if the Cubs can beat the Pirates.
All I'm asking is that you guys, please, if you end up playing the Dodgers, please take it easy on the Dodgers, please, because y'all kick their ass every time, and then my wife gets upset, and I got to hear
it. Yeah, we don't.
Oh, she's the Dodgers?
Bleeds it. Bleeds blue.
So, yeah, they don't want.
Dodger fans don't want to play y'all, straight up.
Nope.
They don't want them problems.
No, luckily, you know, the Giants didn't make it, so they're like, okay, that's one.
Now we got to deal with the fucking Cardinals. They're like, come on, Cubs, beat them Cardinals.
I'm looking at this shit now. Cardinals are 100 games. Like, damn.
They won 100 games?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing. Like, you know, year in, year out, they're the best team in Major League Baseball. What is it with y'all farm system? I just don't get it. Because y'all get rid of people, you bring in random people who nobody knows of, and you just keep chugging along. It's like the damn Spurs.
What's crazy is that the Cardinals probably would have won 10 more games if Oscar Tavares didn't get himself killed last year. He was the truth. He was in a car accident, man, drunk down in Dominican Republic. Damn. And you know, them roads down there is crazy.
Yep.
And killed himself. Literally, he killed himself, what, 4 or 5 days after they lost in the playoffs. He went home and died like 4 or 5 days later.
Damn.
And his girlfriend.
Mm.
Yeah, so if he was around, they would have won 110 games.
Freaking ridiculous.
That's crazy. But yeah, they made it. Dodgers made it, went in the West by 8. New York Mets got in.
Yeah.
Like, that's the last time they beat.
Shout out to Shea Stadium.
Yeah, Nationals, what a way to end. That was funny.
And how about my White Sox?
Oh, they meant, yeah, Pirates and Cubs playing for the wild card, so.
I know my White Sox suck this season, so.
Where are they?
Last in the division. We better not be last in the division.
Oh, no, y'all ahead of.
We had a Minnesota?
Ahead of Detroit.
A Detroit?
Now, Minnesota finished second.
Well, at least we won last. I'll take it.
Yeah, Royals got the best record in the American League.
Of course they do. I hate the Royals.
Royals, hey, man, they were suffering for a long time.
I hate the Royals too because they shouldn't. The Cardinals should have 13 World Series, but we got cheated by Don Dechinger in '85. Just for the record, I don't even believe that Kansas City doesn't have any championships. That's the way I look at it. We still look, you know, Don Dechinger, and what they did actually did a Brian Gumbel Real Sports with them. And he's still getting letters from people threatening his life.
Dang.
I mean, sports, let me say, the fanatics
seriously
out there, they will, you
know.
I mean, you got to think, that was the rivalry of everyone. Oh, the rivalry of everyone, period. That's the whole, it was the whole state. It was the I-70 war.
Yeah.
And that was when the Cardinals was, I mean, you're talking about Vince Coleman, Willie McGee, Jack Clark, Joe McGrain, Tom Bernanski, who else is on that? Tommy Herr. Also, a tidbit for y'all for basketball, too, involved with that. Y'all remember Tito Landrum? He's played for the Cardinals.
I know that name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the name sounds familiar is because his daughter is married to Paul Pierce, Julie Landrum.
Okay.
This is the story, though. Now, she grew up with all of us here in St. Louis. Julie's from St. Louis. Her dad was messing with Tommy Herr. If y'all remember Tommy Herr, he played for the Cardinals and the Phillies. Mm-hmm. His wife. She has a baby. The baby comes out my complexion. and he got traded right after that. And Tito Landrum's daughter is Tito Landrum. So Tommy Herr's wife was Tito Landrum's, you know, so little piece and everything. And now she's married to Paul Pierce.
Damn.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's this little inside baseball, as they say.
Hey man, well there you go. But yeah, Kansas City made it. Texas Rangers won their division.
Nice.
You know, barely.
Win's a win.
Blue Jays won the East. And then
that's good. I like to see Toronto get that East though, because they have been like chomping at the bit, like in maybe second or third every year, and just missing the playoff for a while.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. Because Baltimore finished third. So Yankees and the Astros got the wild card.
Astros. That's what I'm pulling for. F it. If the Dodgers don't do nothing, I'm pulling for the Astros.
I keep forgetting that they got moved in the alignment. I do too. Them in the National League.
I keep forgetting they're American.
It was better for them to be there because that NL Central had like seven teams in it, man. It was like
they were never going to win.
No, not even just that. It was just wasn't balanced. Why would you put seven teams in one division?
Yeah.
You know, it was just outbalanced.
Yeah, Angels finished the game behind them. Started all slow.
Oh, well. No Mike Trout.
No, so we're going to check into that. But, yeah, man, shout out to them Dodgers. And Clayton Kershaw, he had 300 strikeouts this season.
Of course he did.
But he's going to nut up in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what. And the funny thing is, that's what everybody is saying out here in L.A. It's like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, he's come up that way, so he's got to prove it.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to believe, like Andy Dalton, like, except that he gets it done during the regular season, but nobody's going to believe that.
Exactly.
Be sure to check us out on blackisonline.com.
All right, y'all. We're about to get into these awards so we can get up out of here. First off, always start off with the Noice Award.
Noice.
I forgot to ask you there. Do you have some awards for us?
I want to give an award to my St. Louis Cardinals for, as our dominance is every year. And I just realized that we are the New England Patriots of baseball. I didn't realize how many other people hate the Cardinals until recently. And I was like, one of my friends from New England in college, he's like, you know, y'all are just the New England Patriots of baseball, right? And I was like, dang, maybe we are. But shout out to my Cardinals and shout out to my also my Iowa State Cyclones for getting the only win, the second win of the year, and our last win probably this year in the Big 12. and our first conference win in 2 years over KU, who is probably the worst team in organized football, and that includes high school.
Dang.
KU has only scored 5 touchdowns this year.
Oof. Oh, God. As a team?
Yeah, and they've lost. They lost to South Dakota State the first game, oof, lost to Duke, and then lost to Rutgers, then lost to us with a combined record, I think, of 8-10 of teams. So there you go. And they haven't even got to the meat of the schedule. They ain't played Tech. They ain't played. They ain't played Texas Tech. They ain't played TCU. They ain't played OU. This is their last chance, and our last chance too, to get a conference win. We may be Texas, but. Well, that's another here or there, but want to give a shout out to both of those. And
is Charlie Weiss still coaching them?
No. Oh. They have another coach. They fired Charlie Weiss in the middle of last season. So keep in mind now, let me change my nice award to Charlie Weiss. He's getting 2 checks, one from Notre Dame and one from Kansas still.
Still?
Yeah.
He's Notre still Dame getting still paid from Notre Dame? Dang.
Oh, that's 2 more years though. Because I remember when he had Brady Quinn, they signed him like a 10-year deal.
Yeah, they did. I remember that. Dang.
708. So do the math.
That's the way to do it.
He's got 5 years from KU, and he just got fired last year.
On that Mike Brown, who's the most hated coach out here?
Mike D'Antoni.
That Mike D'Antoni. Let me just get 2 checks and call it a day, and I ain't got to do nothing.
All right, you're getting the Alan Houston money, as they say. But those are my nice awards.
For all, sure. All right, Jonathan, what you got?
All right, first Norse Award is going to those good old Chicago Bears for doing the right thing and trading Jared Allen to the nice 4-0 Carolina Panthers. They finally did something right this season. Jay Cutler has been an unmitigated disaster. The whole team has just been a disaster. If they had any decency, they would trade Matt Forte. I don't know if they'll trade Alshon Jeffrey just because he's still on a rookie deal, so that's bargain right there. But trade Matt Forte. Just save the man the decency of just banging himself this whole season for no reason and ship him off to a contender, please, because that's just not right. You hate seeing elite players play on sorry teams.
Yeah, I hope they do, but, you know, definitely by the offseason, before next
just
season.
Just trade the man, please. I think he's a free agent after this season anyway. So.
Oh, yeah, so they better trade him.
He may be dipping.
Mm-hmm.
Next Norse Awards I want to give are both from soccer. I want to give first Norse Award to Cristiano Ronaldo for hitting his 300th goal for Real Madrid. I mean, shoot, that's a hell of an accomplishment, man. 300 goals professionally. You know, a lot of people don't talk about soccer and all that stuff. I know we don't get a lot here in the U.S., but, you know, it's still the most popular sport in the world. And for Cristiano Ronaldo, he's one of the most popular athletes in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a huge accomplishment. As somebody who plays soccer, I definitely respect the man and his craft, because people don't understand how hard it is to make a goal in soccer. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, he's the truth, man. He's part of the reason the U.S. didn't win their group in the World Cup.
Exactly.
With that help, that pass, like from what, midfield, that pass at the end of the game with 2 minutes left in the World Cup.
Exactly. So you know, definitely want to give him a shout out. And then I also wanted to give a shout out to Sergio Aguero from Manchester City, not Manchester United. It's different.
Okay, I'm a Man U fan though, so yeah, okay.
I gotta give him some respect though. This man scored 5 goals in 20 minutes.
Who are they playing though? Tottenham or something?
Personally, I don't care who. I don't care if they were playing a high school team. 5 goals in 20 minutes is incredible. I mean, just shout out, because I mean, just, you know, two unbelievable marks in soccer. And I mean, again, we don't talk enough about soccer, you know, as popular as it is, but just wanted to give some love to these two dudes for getting the job done, because damn it, that's beasting right there. 5 goals in 20 minutes. Some dudes don't even get 5 goals in a season.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, y'all need to explore the Qatar situation when y'all get a chance one time on this show. I'd like to definitely hear y'all thoughts of going into that, like how the cater. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's 5 different – people pronounce it 5 different ways. Some people call it cater. Some people call it Qatar.
Qatar.
So, yeah. Some people call it – some. I've heard people say that it's called cater too. Like when I watched when they had the Real Sports one, some people say cater. So nobody knows how it's pronounced.
Okay.
But it's interesting, that whole situation, and basically like what – 300 people have died or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Some crazy, like, constructing all this stuff. And then FIFA is not allowing – wants to not allow players to do it because they want to do it in the winter. And FIFA wants to not allow players to go do it, like, normally for normal World Cups. So it's interesting.
Okay. Now, we'll dig into that for sure.
Yeah, that'd be dope if y'all talk about that. Especially since, John, you keep up with soccer. That'd be dope.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. For me, my Norse Award is going to a trio of running backs – from college, Leonard Fournette, SEC record, 3 straight games with 200 yards. This last game, 26 carries, 233 yards, 3 touchdowns, getting busy. You already had his coach, Les Miles, saying, stop talking this what if about Leonard Fournette possibly challenging the rule and going straight to the pros. You know, like well, I don't want to hear it. Don't get him big-headed. Mm-hmm. Let this dude keep doing it. Y'all gonna hype him up. He gonna think he the shit, and his stock gonna fall, and then great.
I mean, I for the brother Leonard Fournette, man, enjoy them years of college, man. Enjoy that time being a big man on campus, you know, and just enjoy the youth. Cause I'm like, once you go to the pros, work starts, bro. This is the job. This ain't having fun playing games all day. Yes, you reap the benefits, but it's the job. Mm-hmm. And if you suck, you ain't getting paid. So,
and he also has Southern University across the street, too. Let's keep that in mind.
I'm just, brother, like, just enjoy your third year of college and just be good. Mm-hmm. And then take yourself to the pros. But, you know, I don't like seeing these dudes challenge the whole Maurice Claret, who challenged after his freshman year and all that and win the league and sucked.
Yeah.
And, you know, just I wish a lot more dudes would just enjoy being in college and just enjoy the time and the camaraderie with your peoples.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, you know, you're starring, you know, basically you are the man at LSU, but monetarily, you probably not.
Yeah.
You're probably way the hell down. You're not really getting what you deserve. But I mean, I get that, but you still got to have fun because the way you playing, you're going to get your money in the NFL.
You getting paid, and, bro, and endorsements.
Yeah, and this talk of people like, well, he can take a year. Don't take a year off.
We saw what happened to Davion Clowney trying to play half-assed.
You better off just, you know, letting your Les Miles, you know, put another running back in and, you know, cut down your carries than just being like, well, I'm just not going to play at all. Like, that don't work. You know, you can do that in the NFL. Like, I get hurt. I've been sat the whole year because the NFL is a whole different beast. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that his quarterbacks are garbage, the defense knows you giving him the ball, mm-hmm. and they still can't stop him. That just shows how good this kid is.
That means you need to leave with a Heisman, and you need to hopefully leave with a national championship.
There you go.
And talking about NFL, Devontae Freeman, back-to-back three rushing touchdown games. The last person to do that was LaDainian Tomlinson back in 2006.
One of my arch nemesis.
And it says the only other player to accomplish this in the last 15 years was Priest Holmes, who did it with the Kansas City Chiefs. Damn, Priest Holmes was a monster.
Yeah, he was.
So Devontae Freeman getting a lot of dudes some money. You know, a lot of people like Jonathan Headaches, like, ah, damn it, why did I drop him? But they getting busy. So, yeah, wide receivers last week was dominating. I had to give it to the running backs this week.
For sure.
All right, since we were giving out the goods, time to do the bad.
Mm-mm.
What the fuck? Slow down. What the fuck? No! Fuck that!
All right, I'll let you go first on this one, John.
All right. The first what the fuck moment is going to Carmelo Anthony. I mean, look, I like Melo. I thought he made a dumb decision not going to the Bulls, but that's another story.
I was just talking about that last night, Jonathan. We was just talking about that last night.
I'm just saying. But
I still like your squad.
Carmelo seems to think the Knicks will be competing for a title this year, which I found to be quite amusing. But let's see what he says. He says, shit, we competing. People might not believe that, but we're definitely competing for that, meaning a championship. That's always going to be the goal. Whether we get there or not depends on us and what we're doing. That's always our big picture goal. Now, they won 17 games last year as a team. And considering all the blockbuster moves they made, bringing in Robin Lopez, Aaron Aflalo, Kevin Serafin, Kyle O'Quinn, Sasha Vujacic, and Derek
Williams. What's their draft pick name?
Kristaps Porzingis. And right. Jerian Grant. So they basically got a whole new squad of people. Carmelo, I guess, is trying to keep a positive tone, but I don't know if I would have mentioned, you know, competing for titles just yet. Maybe, you know, we want to compete and build off, you know, we're starting fresh, we're starting new, we're trying to compete in this league. Our goal is to make the playoffs first, and then we'll go from there. To mention championship in that breath, I just was like, no, what, where,
yeah.
What team are you jumping in the East? I don't care if it is the East. What team is you jumping? So
I guess New Jersey Nets.
So I had to give what the fuck to Carmelo for that one. Cause what?
Yeah. You got to start off. You can say the team has championship aspirations, but our main goal, you know, first goal, of course, as always, is to get in the playoffs and then we'll go from there. Then I'd be like, okay. Because, yeah, you need to make the playoffs first because you haven't the last couple years.
All right. Next, what the fuck is going out to Michael Sam. Your boy.
Michael Sam.
Basically, Michael Sam has come out and said he feels that the reason he didn't make it in the NFL in a sense is because it's homophobic to an extent.
No, it's because he's like the smallest DN in the world.
So let me get to I want to get to his quotes. Where are his quotes? All right. So he said, "I wanted to come out after I made the NFL. I guess he was advised to do otherwise." He said, "I wanted to come out after I made an NFL roster. He believes he would be on a roster now had he not come out, and believes he ended up a victim of the NFL's homophobia." Says there were a lot of players that year who had cameras on them. It was a historic moment, and I wanted everyone to see that historic moment, talking about that kiss with his boyfriend. And it says he plans to make an NFL comeback next year. I am just so sick and tired of Michael Sam. Now I want to ask you a question, Daryl. I brought this up to Chris. It came out that I guess his teammates at Missouri already kind of knew he was gay.
Right. That's true.
Before he even came out. So my thought process is, with the amount of NFL personnel that come around and scout and all that stuff, isn't it possible that somebody in the NFL already knew that he was gay, and him coming 100%. Out really didn't make that much of a difference? Now, he also said in that article he wished he was not drafted by the Rams because he felt their defensive line was too good and it didn't really give him a fair advantage to make a team. I personally, on the other hand, feel, you know what, maybe the man just couldn't cut it in the NFL. I know
he got cut by the Cowboys too, right?
Yeah, he couldn't make the Cowboys practice squad. I mean, so me personally, I know he showed flashes in the preseason games with the Rams and all that stuff. But again, you take preseason games with a grain of salt. I'm just so sick and tired of hearing about Michael Sam, and it seems like he's just trying to make excuses for why he can't be in the league. Personally, I don't think it's because he's gay. I just think personally it's just because he just can't cut it. Yes. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, at least he was dope in Mizzou, but if you look back at his playing time in Mizzou, he feasted on a lot of the bad teams in the SEC to get all them sacks.
Thank you.
Like, it was bad team. He was getting them like Kentucky and Vanderbilt and stuff like that, padding them stats.
Yeah, and I'm thinking you took a risk. Like, look, I applaud him on one sense for wanting to be like, you know what, I'm gonna just put it out there and see what teams do. You know, and if he wants to set himself that he wanted to be, he wanted to be an example or whatever, that, you know what, good for you. On him, for real, good for you. You took, that was a lot of balls. About 99% of people in your position ain't doing that. So you did it. You know, maybe it helps out those, you know, to come out, you know, easier or to do it. So cool. But in terms of, like, you knew the risk. The league is homophobic. We know that. You knew. Yes, anybody could have told you that if you came out, it would affect your draft status. Even I would say, for even somebody of Andrew Luck, you would at least have some teams like, I don't know.
I'm waiting for that day.
Whereas, you know, when you don't say nothing, everybody's taking Andrew Luck, no question. But with that you are going to give people some pause. That doesn't mean they may pass on you, but it's going to have some people thinking, you know, so you want to take that risk. Hey, don't get mad like, oh, maybe they was like, well, we all said, a lot of people were saying, Lee can't handle it. They're like, not ready.
I just think he couldn't cut it because with all the NFL scouts that be at schools and stuff, there's no way nobody knew. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
How does St. Louis feel about Michael Sam anyway?
St. Louis doesn't feel too much away about Michael Sam because he's not from here. You know what I'm saying? He's from Texas.
He's from Texas. That's right.
He's from Texas.
Good deal.
So people kind of like, you know, if he'd have been from St. Louis, maybe a little bit different of a feel, but everybody kind of like whatever. They really don't even talk about him much. You know, he was a Texas boy. So besides him being this Mizzou player, they trying to figure out how they lost to Kentucky last week. So they ain't worried about Michael Sam.
For sure. But that's all I got.
All right, Dale, what you got?
I'm going to go with the Big Ten football conference as a whole. I think they need one every week. There's no way in hell Northwestern should be undefeated, period, in any form, shape, or fashion at any point. Also, Purdue almost beat Michigan State. And Iowa beat my rival, Iowa beat Wisconsin 10-6, which is like a high school score. So, and it was only 400 yards total between both teams.
Oh, in college, that's bad.
Oh, yeah, son. They were ranked number 19.
Right, and this is the funny thing is that this is the new age of high-powered offenses. Now, if I told you that, you'd be like, oh, that was 1984, right? No. It was 2015 this happened in a game where everybody's got spread offenses and five wide receivers wide, 400 yards of total offense between both teams. And it's 10-6. So, yeah, this to the Big Ten conference as a whole, This the whole conference is bad, and really Ohio State is feasting off the fact that conference is bad. Same thing Michigan State. So yeah, that's my WTF is for them. And then my second one is going to go to this is going to be a little bit more of a personal, but all the people, if anybody keeps a college basketball, to Jamie Pollard, the assistant, the athletic director for Iowa State University. There are new reports that came out that he technically pushed Fred Hoiberg out as the coach of Iowa State into the arms of Chicago Bulls. This report's coming out saying he basically was just getting on Fred Hoiberg's nerves constantly and not doing like penny pinching him on everything. And he really didn't try and try to outbid the Bulls to keep him in aim. So, yeah, I want to give that WTF to him.
Because Fred Hoiberg turned Iowa State around, man.
Yeah, and he's a homeboy. Like, he had no reason to leave. But he set himself up well to come back if he wants to. But yeah, he had no reason to be leaving, for real. You supposed to open up the checkbook any way you want to for him, period.
Yeah, you got him, and he's done well. That's what you're supposed to do. You want to keep him.
And ain't Harrison Barnes from that area, too?
He's from Ames, yeah.
And Doug, but he and Doug McDermott.
Doug McDermott, they played together. They played on the same high school squad together.
Nice.
But his dad was the coach of Iowa State. McDermott's dad was before he went to Creighton. And he was horrible. And that's how Barnes didn't come there. And then that's the year he left. And then he actually quit, and which is a godsend. I mean, I appreciate Doug McDermott for that, even though he gave us the worst years of Iowa State basketball ever. for that, but he actually redeemed himself and paid his penance by actually quitting and delivering Fred Hoiberg into our arms. And also, making me more mad now, more I talk about it, because Jamie Pollard has been a bad AD in general. Fred Hoiberg fell in his lap as a coach. Fred Hoiberg called him right when he heard that Doug McDermott left and said, "Hey, what do you think might be being a coach?" He flew up there and hired him. So he didn't even have no coaching search. This new coaching search we had, which was better, the only reason this coaching search we had was better, he was going to hire the assistant coach that nobody really likes, and none of the players like, T.J. Altenberger. They kept him on as assistant now. Steve Prohm is a head coach now. But the president of the university, Stan Leith, shout out to Stan Leith, he's the first year the president there, he said, "You know, I need to make this a national search." So they actually had a outside companies come in and interview people before you for coaching jobs. Atlanta. The coaches that were on there was Brad Underwood from Stephen F. Austin, Steve Prohm, of course, from Murray State, who's our coach, Bryce Drew from Valparaiso. And this is the funny one. The coach from North Carolina Central was put up for the job. From the HBCU, North Carolina Central was up for the job at Iowa State. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a little background history for everybody. But, yeah, those are my WTFs.
For sure. All right, I just have two. My first one is going out to the tweets against Texas head coach Charlie Strong. That first one, that his player, freshman quarterback Chris Boyd, supposedly retweets a Texas A&M fan who put, "Whenever y'all ready to transfer, we ready. Hashtag gig 'em." And he put it to him and I don't know who Malik J is, and he supposedly retweeted it.
Yeah,
which is horrible. That's like, honestly, he should have his ass kicked. That, like, that's like, you can't do that.
And apparently it was like during the game,
yeah, like halftime or something. Can't do that. And he didn't know about it.
Texas hate each other. Like, that's like me retweeting somebody from Iowa. There's friends that I didn't talk to that went to the University of Iowa during time periods, and you retweeting A&M, your hated rival, but behind Oklahoma, but still.
Yeah, no, that was shocking. And then the one that the Texas Rangers official Twitter tweeted, "Fire Charlie, hashtag bye."
And got fired.
And then that dude who put that up got fired. I was like, damn, you got a major league team just like, get rid of his ass.
You can't do that.
No.
You can't do that. I mean,
it's a lot of pressure for that school. You know, they could be doing more. It ain't like they just get all the talent all the time, and their only problem is coaching. They got problems.
Yeah.
You know, the way they kicked the old dude out who had made them a winner when they was nothing. I can't think of his name. He's just like, okay.
Mac Brown.
Yeah. You know, and then he's struggling. Oh, it must be the coach. It's something in y'all water. Something just ain't. Everybody around you balling.
They still getting top 10 recruiting classes, though, every year.
Yeah. I mean, they got Texas prospects in their backyard. Texas is like,
and that's the thing though. Baylor's got them on that too, though. Baylor starts getting like the second the guys that didn't go to Texas are like, okay, you know what? Texas didn't recruit you, coming to Baylor
and TCU.
Texas A&M. Texas Tech.
Texas Tech.
OU. No, not matter of fact. Scratch that. OU gets more recruits than anybody in Texas.
OU gets a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adrian Peterson, for instance.
Yeah.
He's from Tyler, Texas.
Yeah.
So. Yep. You know, I wish brother luck.
Him, I mean, that picture with him on the stool is so hilarious. I just cracked up.
Is he that short?
I didn't realize he was that little.
I didn't know he was that small though.
He's like Kevin Hart size.
I'm almost sad for him. Maybe he shouldn't even took that Texas job and stayed at Louisville for another year or two and waited for another job opening.
The grass is not too much always pressure greener on the other side. Man.
He's not, man. Right. He's got it rough. It's gonna be a long season for him.
If they lose to Iowa State, he's gonna get fired. Market.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. If they end the season and their season is real shitty, they'll can them.
Yep.
Because they wouldn't want to be the laughing stock.
Exactly.
Looks like they're not gonna make a bowl game.
I doubt it.
Because they were 1-3.
Yeah. With a freshman quarterback.
And then my other is going to the Cleveland Browns, who I read they are claiming they aren't considering releasing Dwayne Bowe. He's been inactive twice in 3 weeks. He probably wasn't active in this game. And funny part about it is they gave him $9 million guaranteed this offseason. Like what? Like nobody wanted him. Like Dwayne Bowe fell the hell off.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with him though. He was a fantasy beast for a minute too.
He was, and then at some point you figured, you know what? It's just the quarterbacks. If he went to a different system, he'd probably thrive. And I was like, nobody wanted you, but Cleveland took you. I was like, that's the bad sign. And you're not even playing for them.
Yeah,
you're a veteran wide receiver with talent,
with a team that needs a wide receiver badly.
And you gave, and I'm like, for so many teams to pass on him. And you gave him $9 million guaranteed money. They eating that. They cutting them and just taking that L. Oh man. So yeah, man. Want to thank y'all once again for tuning in to another episode of the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. Daryl, thanks for coming through, man.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it, bro.
Thank y'all for having me on, man. Appreciate it for real, for real.
Let everybody know where they can find you at. Let them know about your show and all that.
Straight Out Low Cash podcast. This is actually for freshmen because we don't really talk about sports as much as we used to on the show. Comedy, hip hop podcast. You can talk about a lot of different stuff in the news, a lot of hip hop topics. We also have some other shows on there. Lando Calrissian Experience was a nerd, movie, comic book show. We got Do for Love coming back. DJ Reminisce, our DJ that barely talks, actually has a relationship show.
That's a good show, man. I'm waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's coming back this week. So
okay.
With that coming up. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff, man, that we got coming up. Soon got a show coming up. Me and Javon have a side show we're going to be doing called Hood Classics. We're just going to talk about hood movies. Like every episode, we're going to highlight a hood movie and go over it.
Okay. So, can't wait for that.
Yeah, so it's going to be good. It's going to be called Hood Classics. So that's going to be pretty dope. So, sure. Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff coming from us. You can get us on iTunes, Straight Out Low Cash on there. You just check us out on there. Straight Out Low Cash. StraightOLC.podbeam.com if you want to download directly. Straight Out Low Cash on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, all that good stuff. Anywhere you get a podcast at, you can just Google Straight Out Low Cash too, and it'll pop up if you can't find us.
For sure.
No doubt, man. Well, yeah, man. We've been cool with Daryl for a long time.
Yeah.
For those of y'all who listened to the break, we had a throwback episode a few weeks ago. That we did with him. It was like a lot of podcasters with myself from Burberry when he's doing the Burberry Lounge, Rob from the Black Eye Tips, Moody talking about black men do's and don'ts when it comes to the bedroom. It was great discussion, man. Mm-hmm. So, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
Y'all can reach us on the same ways, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, SoundCloud. You can also check out the website, blackisonline.com. Make sure you check us. If you're checking this out, make sure you check out The Break. hosted by my wife. I know we've been doing throwbacks, but we got some new stuff coming. Gonna be getting with the crew soon. I'm also dropping my my music show. Turn my headphones up. It's been like too damn long, but I got a new one coming for y'all this week. If y'all want to get at us directly, talk any kind of shit, any sports, let your frustrations out, talk mm-hmm. your mess, any of that. You can reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslayman, on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Definitely want to thank y'all. And Daryl, definitely want to thank you again for coming on to the show.
Yeah, thank y'all, man. And we got to get y'all back on, man. A lot of people like the Lost Files episode we put up. And shout out to you, Christo, for recording on the back end with that one. But a lot of people really did the episodes, and they was, you know, people were emailing and asked y'all to come back. So we're going to do that soon, very soon.
For sure. No doubt, man. No you know, doubt. We'll definitely get you on again as well. It, you know, basketball season, you know, we got to – we love bringing Laker fans on.
And tell Javon, don't worry.
Yeah. We're going to get Javon in because I cannot only let him – he can only describe how the Lakers are going to make the playoffs in his own words. Yeah.
Can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, we want
to
hear
that. Can't wait to hear that one. But definitely appreciate you coming on. Definitely want to thank everybody for tuning in for the first time listeners. Definitely want to thank y'all for checking us out and seeing what we about up in here. For the long time listeners, want to thank y'all as well for hanging out with us since day one. And for those of y'all in the middle who caught us, you know, a little bit after the first, or you know, a little bit before the last, you know, definitely want to thank you for checking us out and hanging out with us. If you enjoyed the show, go ahead and leave those 5-star reviews and go ahead and tell everybody. Tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Tell your dogs, cats, chicken, duck, roosters. See what we got today. Tell your rodents. Tell your rats. Tell your mice. Tell your hamsters. Tell your guinea pigs, squirrels. Tell your chupacabras. And to top it off, Baylor, tell your Raiders. Enjoy. I hope y'all enjoyed the show, and I'm out. Peace.
Take it easy, y'all.
Everywhere you go, everywhere you go, everywhere you go, everywhere I go, everywhere I go, everywhere I go, yo. Who got the blocks in the hood? Really got it on lock in the hood? Where you at? Boy, I already know. Got a spot in the hood. Pull a car in the hood. I'll be right back. They already know. When you make it out the hood, they say the hood's still in. Boy, everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. When the feds on your head, boy, they really on your head. Boy, everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Everywhere I go, I got the double bag loaded and the bitch going crazy. And the bitch going crazy. Everywhere I go, I got them young niggas with me with them chopper like the name. CMG the name. Everywhere I go, I got sparks. Everywhere I go, I got balls. Balls. Everywhere I go, I'm with the shit. Shit. So everywhere I go, it be problems. Problems. Block party on a nigga. Everywhere I started with a 50 pack, now I'm a millionaire. Bitch break bad, I don't never care. Nigga playing game, tell him double dirt. Knock your head off, that's a souvenir. Rockets at his sleeve like a rocket chair. I'm bagging up dope on the kitchen table. Watch shatter like a chandelier. Old school cutlass, that's a dad car. I ain't put 100 miles on my land car. 450 ain't no offset. Take off like a rocket, blast off. Young nigga with me, blow your ass off. Walk up in your vision, snatch tags off. Fuck nigga, I don't do the trash talk. I'ma leave your brains on the asphalt, pussy. Everywhere I go, I got the double bag loaded and the bitch going crazy. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I got them young niggas with me with them chopper like the name. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I got a spark. Everywhere I go, I got balls. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I'm with the shit. Shit. Everywhere I go, it be a problem. Everywhere I go, wake up in the morning, in the mirror, thank God I'm the realest in the world. You already know. Everywhere I go, I see fuck boys, niggas acting like little girls. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, they be hate. Wanna see a nigga fall, know they wait. You already know. Wait. Nigga act like they glad you doing good, but they not. I can see it in their face. Everywhere I go. Damn. Everywhere I go, I be a celebration. Me and the money, call it meditation. Damn. Got a greenhouse out of California. Boy, I'm investing into medication. Got a clean house, call it renovation. Trying to pull up, get a pack, make reservation. You a fuck boy, you penetration. I'ma shoot that pistol, no hesitation. Real nigga, fuck a real nigga, this. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go. Fuck nigga, be with fuck niggas, this. Just how I go, just how I go. Gotta get your money for these niggas and these bitches, man, I already know. I ain't gotta make a call to my dogs, cause my dogs already on go. You already know. You already know.
you already know. Who got them blocks in the hood? Really got it on lock in the hood? Where you at? Got a spot in the hood, put my car in the hood, I'll be right back. They already know. When you make it out the hood, they say the hood's still in your boy. Everywhere you go, everywhere you go. When the feds on your head, boy, they really on your head, boy. Everywhere you go, everywhere you go. Everywhere I go, I got the double bag loaded and the bitch going crazy. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I got them young niggas with me with them choppers like the name. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I got a spark. Everywhere I go, I got bars. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go with the shit, shit. Everywhere I go, it be a problem. Everywhere I go.